Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. A 40-year-old murder case, the killing of two black teenagers in Mississippi, has apparently been solved. CBS's Stephanie Lambidakis says the suspect, James Ford Steele, is 72 now.
The federal charges that have been filed against reputed Klansman James Steele are part of a major and what some say is a long overdue effort to solve racial killings from the civil rights era. In this case, two black teenagers were brutally beaten and their bodies were dumped in a river. Steele has always been a prime suspect and even taunted the FBI to prove he did it. Now the FBI and federal prosecutors believe they're ready to do just that.
Reaction from Mark Potok at the Southern Poverty Law Center.
It is a way for the nation to say to the Black South, you matter. Although 40 years ago, black people didn't seem to matter much to sort of the larger country, to the nation at large, we're saying that is not true today.
John Kerry has decided not again. He will not run for the White House in 08.
This isn't the time for me to mount a presidential campaign.
This just in to CBS News, the Senate Armed Services Committee. The vote is yes on confirmation of General David Petraeus to take over command of U.S. forces in Iraq. Now it is on to the full Senate. They ignored President Bush's State of the Union plea when he said, I ask you to give it a chance to succeed. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee in sending on to the full Senate a resolution opposing sending reinforcements to Iraq. It is toothless, but symbolic.
In a direct slap at President Bush, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee voted for a non-binding resolution opposing sending more troops to Iraq, saying it's not in the nation's interests. Democratic Chairman Joe Biden.
Is the wrong way to go, and in fact, I believe we'll have the opposite, emphasize the opposite effect that the president intends.
All but one Republican voted against the resolution, but they didn't exactly give the president a stirring defense. Alaska's Lisa Murkowski.
I happen to disagree with the president on the surge.
The Iraq resolution will go to the full Senate next week. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
U.S. and Iraqi forces moved into what has been strongly held Sunni territory today, Haifa Street in North Baghdad. At least 30 insurgents are dead. More than two dozen were captured. Set phasers to stun, said Captain Kirk. The military showing off its new ray gun, what it calls an active denial system. It is non-lethal. WCTC-TV reporter Roxana Haynes submitted to a blast from that ray gun.
It's an invisible frequency wave, and it hits you, and to me, it just felt like you were kind of getting too close to a campfire or you had just opened the oven.
The idea is to crank it up if necessary on the battlefield to literally make the area and the people in it too hot to handle. On Wall Street, the Dow gained about 88 points to close at nearly 12,622. NASDAQ up almost 35. Oil at $55.37 a barrel, up 33 cents. This is CBS News.
So where do you two keep the books for your contracting business?
It's all up in the old noggin.
Yep, all our sales figures are right in his head.
I see. Does that concern you?
Not at all.
Every waking moment.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes with just a few clicks. QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
We need that.
Are you sure? I got it all right here.
I'm sure.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at CompUSA, OfficeMax, or Circuit City.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot. I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry. I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
The weekend crash of a Black Hawk helicopter killed 12 people, and today we learn how strategically valuable those people were. Five were officers, including two colonels, and one of them was the leading American military doctor in Iraq. Jimi Hendrix may not have gotten his amazing energies from a substance as tame as caffeine.
So, are you experienced?
The makers of a new energy drink are hoping his image will help sell what they call liquid experience.
If you can jump.
Some fans are upset that Jimmy's being used in such a commercial effort. The publicist Bob Merlis had this to say.
Experience Hendrix wouldn't license his image. Everything is duly considered, and everybody's entitled to their opinion.
It's non-alcoholic, sort of like Red Bull and the other high-caffeine drinks, and the producers say the name comes from Hendrix's song, Are You Experienced? Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Now, you have a very unique accounting system for your boutique.
Yep. I designed my own spreadsheet.
Wow, looks complicated.
That's why I have a cheat sheet for my spreadsheet.
That is one big cheat sheet.
That's just the index.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Really?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
I'm switching.
Great.
Can you help me fold this back up?
I doubt it. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
Snogging means kissing. And I've never been told anything otherwise. So, yes, I would consider that I am a good snogger, as you might put it.
Her Match.com username is CuteBritChick. And you can email her right now. Go ahead, it's okay to look, whether it's CuteBritChick or someone else. We're so confident you'll find someone special in 6 months that if you don't, we'll give you 6 months free. It's our guarantee to you. And it's only at the all-new Match.com. See site for details.
Hear me, Collins!
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. As usual, we are live, we're unrehearsed, we are unscripted, but today we are not coming to you from the left coast of these United States. We're here in the theme park inside the Beltway that they call Washington, D.C. I arrived yesterday in time to catch the President's State of the Union performance. We're going to dissect that speech in a number of different ways during our program today. And we are open for your reaction to the speech as well. As you know, this is a live and interactive radio show, and we favor your telephone calls. It's the usual number, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You can email me, and I can check it during the breaks, Peter at PeterBCollins.com. That's Peter at PeterBCollins.com. We are at the Center for American Progress in Washington, just a few blocks from the White House. And a couple of folks from the center will be joining us in just a moment. I'll introduce Joseph Cirincione. Also on today's program, our regular contributor from the Center for American Progress. He just got promoted, and we'll tell you about that. Faz Shakir from the Progress Report will be joining us. Next hour, Shane Cotadal from the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York returns to our program. We're going to talk about the alleged deal that has been reached over the NSA spying program and the flip-flop that Alberto Gonzalez, the Attorney General, performed before the Senate Judiciary Committee just last week. Also on the program this evening, or this afternoon on the West Coast, I remember that, Robert Dreyfus will be with us from Mother Jones Magazine. Also, we're going to talk with Andrea Schlesinger from the Drum Major Institute, and they respond to the President's domestic agenda from the point of view of working families and middle-class Americans. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show, the first of three live broadcasts from Washington, D.C. Tomorrow, we'll be on site at the Mayflower Hotel, the scene of a conference held by Families USA focused on health care. And it was interesting that the president sought to find common ground with Democrats who now control Capitol Hill by proposing some health care issues that are generally non-starters. But the fact that he brought it up is encouraging to many of us who've been fighting for that kind of reform for almost two decades now. And a quick program note, Friday we are pleased that Lieutenant Aaron Watada, who is standing firm in his refusal to return to Iraq, and in the process of a court-martial at Fort Lewis in Washington, he is going to be joining us as we prepare for the big march in Washington, D.C. this Saturday. There's still time for you to book a flight and come here and express yourself. I think this is a very pivotal demonstration, and I hope that there will be a large turnout. Also, if you do plan to come, the same groups are planning to lobby members of Congress on Monday. So if you've got the coin and the free time, I encourage you to participate. Joining us first this evening is Joseph Cirincione. He's the Senior Vice President for National Security and International Policy here at the Center for American Progress. And we met him a couple of years back when he was working as the Director for Nonproliferation at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. And he is a man who is well-versed in international politics, and he joins us here. Joe, nice to meet you.
Thank you, Peter. Pleasure to be here with you.
Great to be in your company. Your first reaction to the president's speech last night, I believe the word Iraq was mentioned 37 times.
The president didn't just defend his Iraq policy, but I think he was laying out his next agenda, and it's the country next door. It's Iran. We're in the struggle for the frame here, just as he did several years ago in his 2002 State of the Union, where he coined the axis of evil phrase. Mm-hmm. He's trying to define the threat. What's this all about? And last night you heard him talk about this as part of this global struggle, the most important struggle of our time. And he tried to tie together all the various regional struggle. So Hamas is Hezbollah, is Al-Qaeda, is Iraq, is Iran.
And is any of that true? I mean, the connectivity that he raised is questionable at best.
Yeah, but that's the way it is questionable. I mean, obviously we have Shia fighting Sunni. The Iranian government is the enemy of Al-Qaeda. They're the enemy of the Taliban. They do have ties with Hamas and Hezbollah, but to imply, as the president did last night, that these attacks, these incidents that happened in 2006, were all part of some coordinated offensive or counteroffensive, in his view, to the successes the U.S. has had.
Well, wait a minute,
it's not just
Joe.
Wrong, but it's dangerous.
But we knew that Iraq was an enemy of Al-Qaeda, and we fixed that.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. This is the struggle for the frame. If the president can get away with this, can paint this, then that's, you know, it's part of the justification for, as he said, we didn't choose this war, but now that we're in it, we have to win it. And it worries me that he may be looking to take the fight in Iraq to Iran.
Well, I definitely want to go there, but first to the president's remarks about how, this was not the war we expected, but now we are in it. I have real problems with that, first of all, because, of course, he glosses over how this problem was created and now basically just says we're stuck and that if we don't, achieve victory or success, the terms keep changing, we will make things worse. Well, he can make that case, but I firmly believe that we're only going to make things worse by staying there in our current form. And that we need to send strong signals not only to the Iraqis but to the world community that we don't intend to stay there at the 150,000 troop levels for the foreseeable future.
Absolutely. Most countries in that region see the U.S. presence as a threat, as contributing to the instability. Now, some of the governments, like the Saudi government, would like to see us take on Iran, but that sentiment is not shared by their publics. Our presence in Iraq has done tremendous damage to U.S. standing and prestige. In fact, I can't recall a similar six-year period in U.S. history where the United States has suffered such a dramatic loss in power and prestige and security as we have over the last 6 years. Almost every policy that the president has put in, when what he said was a position of strength to project U.S. power, to ensure U.S. security, has ended up making the matter worse. Every single member of the axis of evil, Iran, Iraq, North Korea, is more dangerous to the United States now than it was 4 years ago, 6 years ago, 5 years ago when he first announced that doctrine.
Now, the axis of evil rhetoric actually preceded any meaningful policies, with the exception of Iraq. They were certainly on track there. But in terms of Iran and North Korea, this administration had no clear policies at the time the rhetoric came out. Do you feel that they have very hardened policies toward Iran, framed around the rhetoric that the president has started to introduce?
Well, they had no framed policies that they were telling us about when they did the axis of evil. And that's why I pay such great attention to the president's words now. It's not just rhetoric. They mean something by it. And if you look at the incidents of the past few weeks where we've arrested some Iranian diplomats in Iraq, and then just
Erbil.
Then last week followed up by arrest of six more Iranian officials, not diplomats, but connected with the Revolutionary Guard at this facility in Erbil that had been had been there since 1992 and doing some official government business. But also they ordered a new U.S. carrier task force to head to the Gulf.
The Stennis?
Yeah, should be there at the end of February.
And what about MEK? Do you believe the reports that we have used the MEK? We've inserted them as advanced, warlords or fighters in Iran?
I've been told by friends and people I trust that we are aiding insurgent groups in both the north and south of Iran and have special operations forces inside Iran and have had them there for the last couple of years doing surveillance and assistance to some of these groups.
Mm-hmm.
So these individual things together, or the appointment of Admiral Fallon to head the Central Command, a naval aviator, in each one of these in and of themselves have another explanation. Maybe Admiral Fallon's being appointed for his diplomatic skills,
mm-hmm.
not for the fact that he's expert at directing air attacks.
Yeah.
But it's the rhetoric of the administration that makes me worry about the real intention here. And when he paints all this together, when he starts blaming Iran for the deaths of U.S. servicemen, certainly Iran is meddling in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about that. But are they the reason we're having such problems in Iraq? When he starts pointing to Iran as the center of the global terrorist network, when he starts merging al-Qaeda, the war in Iraq, and the regime in Iran, I start to worry that at least some in this administration mean to take this regime change strategy from Baghdad to Tehran. I actually believe that there's as much as a 50-50 chance that the president's going to launch military attacks on Iran this winter or spring.
Really? That soon?
I think that's the window that's open for them.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they're not intending it, by ratcheting up the tension this way, by taunting Iran, provoking Iran, there's a possibility that the next raid to arrest Iranian officials might be resisted.
Mm-hmm.
You might have a firefight between the Iranians and the U.S. Or the Iranians could capture some of the U.S. special forces operating inside Iran, provoking a confrontation. Remember, on the other side, we also have an extremist president, President Ahmadinejad,
mm-hmm.
who might welcome a conflict with the United States to shore up his flagging popularity. So when you have two leaders sort of itching for a fight and in a war actually going on and Iran actually meddling in the Iraq war, there's tremendous potential for a spark to set off a larger conflagration.
And with radical fundamentalists in charge of each camp, it does heighten that potential.
It does. Each one of them believes they're on a mission from God.
We're going to continue in just a moment. Joe Cirincione is with us here at the Center for American Progress in Washington. Lines open if you'd like to chat with us at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Live from Washington, D.C., you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
every Sunday morning at 10. Listen to Rock, Roll, and Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate. The Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Are you tired of hearing no when applying for a home loan? Is your credit shot due to late payments, bankruptcy, or recent foreclosure? Do you need help purchasing a home or refinancing your existing home? Well, now there is help. Every Saturday and Sunday morning from 7 to 8 here on KRXA 540 AM, listen live to national radio host Ken Michaels of Mortgage Makeovers as he doles out simple answers in plain English to your mortgage and finance questions.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B., originating live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. We're visiting with Joe Cirincione. Last night, the president gave his State of the Union message, which was largely devoted to a defense of his failed policies related to Iraq and the very unpopular escalation. He doesn't use the word surge, and he spoke in the past tense about committing more American forces to Iraq. Jim Webb, Navy veteran, father of an Iraqi soldier in Iraq, I have to say that properly, an American soldier in Iraq, gave a very powerful and brief 9-minute Democratic response to the president's address. He trotted out a photo of his father, talked about his family's military legacy, and that as a soldier, we owed them our loyalty, and we gave it. He went on. But they owed us sound judgment, clear thinking, concern for our welfare, a guarantee that the threat to our country was equal to the price we might be called upon to pay in defending it. The president took us into this war recklessly. He disregarded warnings from the National Security Advisor during the first Gulf War, the Chief of Staff of the Army, two former commanding generals of Central Command, whose jurisdiction includes Iraq, and he went on. We are now, as a nation, held hostage to the predictable and predicted disarray that has followed. Very powerful words delivered without acrimony, but I think with a great passion. And Joe Cirincione, what does this presage? Many of my listeners are concerned that the Democrats are using these non-binding resolutions that may produce votes that require Republicans to go on record opposing the White House, but may in fact do nothing to deter this president from escalating in Iraq and moving on Iran.
Well, first, the non-binding resolutions are very powerful political instruments. This is a whole new ball game with this Congress. You're seeing it in the number of members who are standing up opposing the president's policy. I believe that it's likely that we're going to see a merger of the various resolutions, the one sponsored by Senators Biden, Levin, and Hagel, a Republican, and the one just introduced by Senator John Warner on Monday, opposing this escalation. The loss of John Warner was a huge blow to the president. You are just basically pulling the plug out of the bottom of the boat here. And he's the moderate center for the Republicans. And that all just now goes over to the anti-escalation side. And you might get a vote on the Senate next week where you might have 70 to 80 senators voting against the president's plan. That is huge. And here's the second thing. That's just the beginning. Because of the tremendous public opposition to this, the latest poll shows 65% of the American public opposed the president's plan, up from 61% opposed before the president spoke. Like Social Security, the president's failed Social Security campaign, the more the president talks about this, the less people like it. That public opinion is pushing the Congress on this issue. So the non-binding resolution is just the beginning of resolutions you will see coming down the pike on this, including, I expect, language added to the Iraq supplemental, which might be as much as $100 billion. Conditions on funds for the war. You know, none of the money appropriated for the purposes of can be used to, except like that. Perhaps caps on the overall number of troops that can be put in Iraq. And I believe you're going to see war powers resolutions introduced on Iran.
Well, I think that is the best angle for the Democrats because war powers are issues that people can understand. It's legal. It doesn't, reflect on whether or not you support the troops. And I think the potential for political blowback on a war powers issue as opposed to cutting off the funding is much safer.
I think that's true. And, you know, the Democrats want to avoid the trap of being blamed for the loss of the war. And this is a real trap. This is not to be taken lightly. You still hear conservatives. In fact, you can hear them every hour or so on Fox saying the Democrats lost Vietnam. Mm-hmm. It's not true. There's not a shred of truth to that. But they make the claim, and so you have to be careful.
Well, this is what I call the lament of Curtis LeMay, which we heard surface in the late 70s. If they just let me nuke that country,
yeah,
we would have won.
That's right.
And I feel like this last ditch surge, and when you hear John McCain talk about it, that this is not enough, but it's the only hope we've got. It really does appear to be an effort to be able to say we tried,
yeah,
and the Democrats wouldn't let us win it.
Yeah. Well, I think the Iraq War is the millstone around the president's neck, and it's dragging him down. And John McCain has just grabbed onto that millstone, tied his political fortunes to it, and he's going down with it. This is a hugely unpopular war. This is a hugely unpopular escalation. The people spoke in the elections of November. They're speaking now in the polls. The members are listening. I mean, look at where the moderates are on this, and look at how well the Democrats are handling this.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Senator Harry Reid who gave the rebuttal last night. It wasn't the Speaker of the House, Pelosi. Both of those could have done it or done it together. No, they picked the new guy, a guy who's been a senator for 2 weeks.
It was brilliant.
And he was fabulous. And he's just stiffened the spine of moderates and progressives in the Congress to stand up to this power to say, no, we are not going to go along with this. No, you are not going to do this anymore. You've got to reverse course. Mm-hmm. It may take a few weeks. It may take a few months. But I believe we are going to reverse course, in large part because of the progressive leadership in the Democratic and Republican parties and the alliance that they've now formed with the moderates. The conservatives are isolated, and they're losing confidence and votes every week.
Well, I appreciate your hopefulness and enthusiasm. I still feel that until Laura Bush and First Pooch Barney get a vote on those resolutions, we can't be sure that the president will listen to anybody. Joe Cirincione, thanks for visiting with us. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Peter.
Joe Cirincione from here at the Center for American Progress. I'm Peter B. Collins. Faz Shakir is going to join us next with an update on the president's speech, some of the domestic issues. And you can call this program, and we'll talk with you over the next half hour. Toll free, it's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Live from Washington, D.C., I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Washington, D.C. We're at the studios of the Center for American Progress, and we're getting reaction to the President's State of the Union speech last night. As we mentioned, tomorrow we'll be originating live from the historic Mayflower Hotel, all of these locations just a few blocks from the White House. Katrina Rill, who's assisting me on the production here in Washington, she and I walked past the White House on our way to the center today. And paused just for a moment of indignation. But Washington is quite alive and a lot going on, despite the winter weather. Shane Cotterdall from the Center for Constitutional Rights will join us next hour. We're going to talk about the NSA spying program and whether the backflip of Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, the flip-flop that occurred last week, has any real meaning, and if the administration really is going to comply with the law. Also on tonight's show, Robert Dreyfus from Mother Jones Magazine and other publications. He'll be joining us. And Andrea Schlesinger, Executive Director of the Drum Major Institute, offering some analysis on the domestic proposals of the president from last night, particularly related to the interests of the middle class and working Americans. Faz Shakir joins us now. He is the co-editor of the Daily Progress Report and a weekly contributor on the Peter B. Collins Show. Nice to be with you in person here, Faz.
Yeah, it's nice to see you face to face.
And Faz is a modest man, but he got a big promotion over the last couple of days. He is now the research director for the Center for American Progress. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, Peter. I hope it doesn't change me. But, yeah, we lost a dear colleague, Judd Legum, who was the research director before. He's going on to the Hillary Clinton campaign. And so I had the opportunity to move up here, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah, and you just finished law school, and you're just a rising star here.
It's a big turning point in my life.
Yeah. Well, when are you going to go corporate lawyer, you know, and really cash in?
Hopefully never. I mean, that's my goal, try to stave that off as long as I can.
Yeah. So you got about 4 hours sleep last night. I appreciate you joining us, and you've been pumping out some of your analysis. People can read it at progressreport.org, and I encourage every listener of the Peter B. Collins Show to visit that website when you have a chance. Just enter your email in the box there, and you can receive it free in your email every day. And, Faz, your general reaction to the president's speech last night?
Well, I think it's interesting because you judge President Bush by a different standard. Right, you don't judge him against President Clinton or President Reagan or all. He has his own standard, and the standard he's laid is that he's quite a fibber. So we remember the 2003 State of the Union, where of course one of the most factually inaccurate State of the Unions in history, when he made the case for the Iraq War. We remember the Axis of Evil in 2002. We remember him using gay marriage to politicize that issue in the lead up to the 2004 elections. So he has a very divisive history, and so by that standard, we were quite pleased with last night's performance because he didn't go to that well. He just backed up his escalation plan, which we expected. But he talked about energy, he talked about education, he talked about healthcare. So he's talking about progressive issues, although not progressive policies.
Understood. And we'll get to that in a moment. But I guess I want to quibble with you a little bit on the relative truthiness of the president's comments. Here's Glenn Kessler very politely writing in the Washington Post today. In his State of the Union address last night, President Bush presented an arguably misleading and often flawed description of, quote, the enemy that the United States faces overseas, lumping together disparate groups with opposing ideologies to suggest they have a single-minded focus in attacking the United States. Now, I agree with every word of that statement, but he cannot find it in his vocabulary to use the word liar. I mean, come on. What the president said last night was conflated, and, you know, it's the process he's been using since early 2002, which is to inappropriately connect the threat that al-Qaeda and Islamic terrorists pose to the United States with his elective conflict in Iraq. And he did it again last night. I mean, you know, it really does seem to be a kind of compulsive inability to confront the truth.
Right. It seems that every time he gets in trouble on Iraq over the past 3 years, he goes back to the well of 9/11. He did it again last night, trying to connect the war with the events of 9/11. And then, of course, he did an odd thing, which is what Kessler is referring to, is that he connected Iraq to the events in Lebanon with regards to Hezbollah's activity there this past summer. And he talked about the Taliban regrouping in Afghanistan. So President Bush was trying to lump all these people together and say that we're fighting in Iraq, so we're fighting in Iraq to fight all these people, apparently. I think the truth behind that whole statement is, while President Bush acknowledges that 2006 was the year of the terrorists, which I think it really was, It's because we're bogged down in Iraq. That's why I think that Hezbollah took the provocative actions that they took. That's why the Taliban is on the march in Afghanistan, and that's why the insurgents in Iraq are fighting us so fiercely. It's because we are bogged down.
But just like McClellan had to put together a videotape of the negative news reports on Katrina to get the president's attention, it appears that he started paying attention to the sectarian violence in Iraq only after the bombing of the Samarra Mosque, the Golden Mosque. He cites that repeatedly as if that's when the civil war, which he won't use that phrase, but that's when the civil war started. Would somebody clue him in that this has been going on since shortly after the mission accomplished speech in 2003?
That's right. I mean, that's a perfect point. And unfortunately, the administration has been using this talking point now for quite a while. That's to say that only in February of 2006 did the chaos begin. Tony Snow has said that. Cheney and Bush have now said that. And it's all false. We took a look at the U.S. casualty numbers over the past 3 years, and they've stayed remarkably consistent. It's about 800 or so, a little over 800 U.S. casualties, troop casualties, over the past 3 years. They're not fluctuating. They're staying consistent. The number of wounded have also stayed consistent. So there's no ramp up in violence in that sense. All we've seen is an escalation of the civil strife that we've seen for 3 or 4 years running.
Mm-hmm. Back to Glenn Kessler in the Post today. At one point, Bush cataloged what he described as advances in the quest for freedom during 05, the departure of Syrian troops from Lebanon, elections in Iraq. Then Bush asserted a thinking enemy watched all of these scenes, adjusted their tactics, and in 06 they struck back. But Kessler notes his description of the actions of the enemy tried to tie together a series of diplomatic and military setbacks that had virtually no connection to one another, from an attack on a Sunni mosque in Iraq that I mentioned to the assassination of Maronite Lebanese political figure, that's Rafiq Hariri.
No connection, except, again, I go back to the point that I think that all of these militant actors in the Middle East are looking at us and they're saying the United States is in the weakest position it has ever been in, and if we want to take some provocative actions, now is the time to take it. I think that's the only link. It's not that they're looking at – it's not that Iraqi actors or Al-Qaeda actors are moving around and conducting the same activity in all these places.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, you know, this is not helpful to the president, nor to the interests of the United States, because as he continues to take all these different factors, put them in the Bush blender, and pull them out as the war on terror, he undermines any real effort to enhance the security of the United States, either domestically or internationally, and he just creates a series of false notions about what is achievable.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, as many people have pointed out, he's digging himself in deeper and deeper and appears oblivious to the real issues and a realistic way to approach them.
Yeah, I don't know how you feel about this, though, Peter, but I'm feeling slightly more optimistic, though, that other people are getting clued in into how you and I feel about the Iraq War. That is, I've been heartened to see Chuck Hagel's recent comments, and of course he's been a critic for a long time, but of late he has become a very passionate critic against President Bush, and I applaud his efforts. And then, of course, we have John Warner and Susan Collins and Norm Coleman and Sam Brownback coming out against escalation. And I think that these are signs that here's a movement that's starting to consolidate against the president. And for so long, we've been saying president's on the wrong track. Nobody seems to recognize it but us. But now here we are trying to build this movement. And I feel like that we're hitting a point where the president cannot sustain this for much longer unless he wants to break apart all of his political allegiance, all of his ties, and ruin his party forever.
I share some of the same encouragement, and I have argued for some time now that the real shift will come when principled Republicans stand up to the failed neocon agenda. And we're seeing that. I think Warner is critical in this process. That said, this president does have the ability to ignore absolutely everyone who gives him advice, from his daddy's friends to the generals who he said he'd only increase troop levels when they asked him to. I mean, he has clearly left himself very isolated and seems unconcerned about it.
Yeah, I was listening to Vice President Cheney this afternoon speaking with Wolf Blitzer on CNN, and Wolf Blitzer asked him about his credibility. Doesn't he have credibility problems? And Cheney dismissed that as, quote, hogwash. But he also said an interesting thing about how they view this congressional resolution that passed. Blitzer asked him, what will you do if Congress passes this? Do you feel like you have to listen to Congress at all? He said, no, we're not going to listen to Congress. We're just going to move forward and keep doing what we're doing. So clearly there's going to be a clash at some point here. If the administration continues to push ahead with this escalation and the violence on the ground continues, then Congress will be limited to the only option it has left, which is the purse strings. And I think that's where we're going here.
We're talking with Faz Shakir here on the Peter B. Collins Show, co-editor of the Progress Report here at the Center for American Progress. If you'd like to join us with your reaction to the State of the Union message from the president last night, you can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And Faz, here's a copy of a press release related to it's actually a bill that has been introduced by Barbara Lee, Maxine Waters, and Lynn Woolsey, members of the House and members of the Out of Iraq Caucus. And it's a 6 or 8 point program, prohibits permanent military bases for the U.S. in Iraq, funding for training of the Iraqi forces. It has some U.S. veteran issues addressed in it. Promotes non-military bilateral and multilateral assistance for reconstruction, and creates a bipartisan joint committee to investigate the process by which we were led into war. I think this is the marker that defines the extreme challenge to the president. It's not explicit, but it does cut off funding for any further expenditures in Iraq. And I think that we are seeing the debate being defined certainly against escalation, but there's, pretty interesting spread there between the stay the course and the let's get out immediately. And that does give me encouragement that we are going to see our political leaders catch up with the American people.
Yeah, I, as you were reading that, I was thinking about the Out of Iraq Caucus, and I can remember, and I'm sure you remember this, that when they first formed, they were marginal people. Right, nobody listened to them. They were the fringe. Their ideas were immediately dismissed. And now here you have them, I think, largely in the mainstream. Those ideas that you mentioned that they're proposing as the alternative to President Bush have now become largely the views of the majority of the American public. They want to see a plan that they can support to have a phased redeployment from Iraq, and that would establish some benefits for our veterans that they need to take care of, and not establish permanent bases in Iraq. These are all things that it seems that a majority of the American public, a majority of Congress, is consolidating around. So, I just want a hat tip, really, the Out of Iraq Caucus for pushing ahead for so long, not being discouraged, and really coming up with sensible alternatives to President Bush that are now consolidating the public.
Faz Shakir with us from the Center for American Progress. We're going to take a break and return, and then we'll focus on some of the domestic issues raised by the president in last night's State of the Union message. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. Call and share your comments with us. 888-573-8372. You can also drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. Live from Washington, D.C., you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Result means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testifies lying before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and to declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis.
I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We're live from Washington, D.C. And this broadcast of the PBC show is dedicated to the memory of Maria Levy. Maria passed away on the New Year's weekend, and she was the person who invited us to come to Washington for this week of live broadcasts. She has worked behind the scenes as a producer, a coordinator, helping to nurture progressive talk radio, and she died from a heart ailment in her sleep, and we're going to miss her quite a bit. There's a memorial service underway in Washington at this hour for Maria Levy, and I wanted to honor her on our program today. We continue with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress, co-editor of the Daily Progress Report, and Tim joins us from Watsonville. Hello, Tim. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi. How you doing?
Doing fine.
I did not watch the State of the Union last night, mainly because I honestly cannot stomach watching this man. And but I did read a quote in the local newspaper, several, in fact, and I wanted to comment on that, and I had wondered if anybody had actually paid attention. I'm sure other people had noted this, too, and that was, I guess apparently he made the comment that to fail in Iraq is to not learn the lessons from September 11th or something. You know, I'm paraphrasing that. But I wondered how many times during his speech he tried to falsely tie September 11th to the war in Iraq.
It was only the last two-thirds of the speech. yeah, he was up to it again, Tim, and he does appear oblivious to the facts. And as we were citing some comments from an analysis in the Washington Post today, that again identify the areas where the president's not being truthful, but the corporate media in this country cannot bring itself to describe it as being untruthful. It's just whoops and gosh, you know, he did it again. But those were his key messages. And yes, what he's saying is it doesn't matter how much I bungled to get us into this mess in Iraq. We're there now, and we've got to stay, or the consequences will be far graver. And you know, that's a tough point to argue with, Faz, because we can't predict, anybody can, how things will play out whenever the United States leaves.
Right. And we don't know how the Iraqis will react once we leave, but it's certainly been a talking point of the right that this conflict is separate from Vietnam, because in Vietnam, when we left, we knew the Vietnamese wouldn't chase us here, and that we believe that the Iraqis will. And I totally disagree with that. I believe that the insurgency in Iraq is largely homegrown. I think we're talking about native Iraqis, people who were there before 2003. They didn't come in afterwards. They're there. They're Iraqis, and they're picking up the fight to fight us, which started in 2003, and then it has now devolved into fighting each other. The Hobbesian state, right, of war of man, the war of against man against every man, and that's what we see, the state of nature being solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short in Iraq. I think that's what we're seeing. I don't think they're going to pick up and follow us here. I don't think they have any intention of that.
Mm-hmm. Tim, thank you for the call today. So, Faz, the president also emphasized some domestic issues, and on the one hand, I'm pleased that he's talking about reducing our reliance on foreign oil, trying to reduce our contributions to climate change, trying to deal with the issues of our failed for-profit health care system in this country. But some of it's almost laughable. It's nice that he's addressing health care, but he seems to be a one-trick pony. Tax cuts! Hey, tax cuts works to help all my friends. So now we're going to give tax cuts to people who currently don't owe any taxes, particularly, you know, at the very low end of the spectrum, and hope that they use that money to buy health insurance or health coverage of some sort. It's pretty much a non-starter, but is it a signal that this administration recognizes the problem and will accept some progressive legislation from the Democratic-controlled Congress?
Yeah, I think that that's right. I think that's the right message. But I'm interested in the political context of what he did last night. I think he delivered the real State of the Union about 2 weeks ago when he delivered his address on the Iraq escalation plan. And after that address, his approval ratings fell dramatically. He came into last night's speech with an approval rating of 28%, the lowest of his presidency. And so the White House knew that they were up against a brick wall. And so what did they do? They decided to shift the public's attention to domestic priorities. And in doing so, I think they wanted to talk about issues that they knew Peter and I could say, well, it's good that he mentioned them. And that's those are the headlines they want to talk about.
But the compassionate conservative couldn't even find room for one mention of New Orleans.
Right, exactly. No mention of New Orleans. He had a very passing, fleeting mention of global climate change, although no policies regarding that. He didn't adopt any progressive policies with regards to health care, energy, education, really. All he did was talk about them and suggest that he would be open to ideas.
Well, and it just struck me that they don't get it. When Jimmy Carter wanted to demonstrate to people the problems that we were having because of the OPEC oil crisis at the time, he put on a sweater and turned down the thermostat at the White House. I was having dinner last night. I was at the Watergate. I've never stayed there before. It was kind of cool. And I was there on the Potomac Parkway as the motorcade came by to go to the Capitol. 18 vehicles and about a dozen motorcycles. A huge waste of fuel. And then he choppered to Andrews Air Force Base to fly Air Force One a couple of hundred miles to Delaware today to do a photo op at the DuPont plant about synthetic fuels and that sort of thing. They don't really get that their imagery could really change things.
That's because I don't think they actually buy into energy conservation. I think this is a president who talks the talk only because he recognizes that the polling indicates that this is something the public wants to hear. I don't think he actually wants to walk the walk on this. In terms of energy conservation, he didn't talk about it at all last night.
He wouldn't even state a target for mileage standards.
No, not at all. I mean, that's not something that they believe in, and I think that it's to the detriment of our domestic automakers because we're losing the battle to Toyota, to Honda, who are moving quickly ahead with hybrid cars, and our domestic automakers aren't competing. And I think if this continues and we don't assert some federal leadership, we're going to fall behind in that race never be able to recover.
Yeah, and he's completely forgotten about the hydrogen vehicle initiative from just a couple of years ago. Final item in today's progress report, Fox News is developing a Daily Show-style comedy program. And Rush Limbaugh has been asked to do a cameo?
That's right. Those
what?
Are all, it'll be a hilarious show, according to Rush Limbaugh. This has been a project in the works for a couple of years. I think I remember Newt Gingrich was one of the first to propose it at Fox News, and they didn't really buy it. They weren't interested. And then once the Daily Show on Comedy Central became a huge hit, Fox News decided now was the time to move ahead with its own comedy alternative and showcase the comedic voices of the right, including Rush Limbaugh.
So Bill O'Reilly's visit to Colbert was a re-education program?
That's right. It was training. It was training. There's no doubt about it.
All right, Fez. People can read all about it in the Progress Report. Log on to progressreport.org. Fez Shakir, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Peter.
Great to see you, and congrats on your promotion.
Appreciate it.
We'll continue with more live from Washington, D.C. Up next, we'll talk about the NSA wiretap program with Shane Cotadolf from Center for Constitutional Rights. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
One-Day Income Tax Service, family-owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One-Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One-Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One-Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One-Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pressure on the new strategy grows.
A Senate committee says no to the president's Iraq plan. I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill.
It took more than 40 years to do it, but the FBI has finally solved the case of two murdered teenagers from the civil rights era. I'm Stephanie Lambidakis at the Justice Department.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Democratic Senator Joe Biden led the charge.
Mr. Chairman.
Aye. Clerk will please report the vote.
12 ayes, 9 nays.
The amendment passes.
CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
The day after President Bush asked Congress to let his Iraq plan work, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee passed a resolution rejecting it, declaring adding more troops is not in the national interest. All Democrats and Republican Chuck Hagel supported it.
And we better be damn sure we know what we're doing, all of us, before we put 22,000 more Americans into that grinder.
Republican Dick Lugar says he too has doubts the president's plan will work, but opposed the non-binding resolution.
This vote will force nothing on the president, but it will confirm to our friends and allies that we are divided.
The full Senate will vote and is expected to pass this next week. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Some of those additional troops have already arrived in Iraq, and CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick reports the campaign to pacify Baghdad is now well underway.
Part of the president's plans to sweep the capital for insurgents and weapons, U.S. and Iraqi troops returned to Haifa Street, where for several hours the battles raged. A U.S. military statement calls Haifa Street a key location, and reducing sectarian violence here vital to handing over security to the Iraqis.
The Senate Armed Services Committee has approved General David Petraeus to command U.S. forces in Iraq. Confirmation by the full Senate, including promotion to four-star rank, is expected tomorrow. 3,200 soldiers of the Army's 10th Mountain Division are having their tour in Afghanistan extended by 4 months. U.S. commanders expect heavy fighting this spring. Now this.
Have you heard the one about the guy who's looking for a good used car and actually finds one? No, really. That's because he got a Honda certified used car. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. And now get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. Hey, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Hey, I'm here with the Tuttles from TLC's American Chopper.
Hey, this is Mike.
Paul Sr.
Paul Jr.
So, hey, Polly, I hear you're gearing up for a new season now on TLC, the Learning Channel.
What was,
and
what
he asked me a question.
Why do you do stupid things
hey,
like that?
Can you tell me about the new network, TLC?
I know. Who does more?
What about the new shop?
I think you're delusional.
You're an idiot.
And I'd like to thank everybody.
Shut up, Mike.
Okay. Hey, all right, guys, thanks for coming in. Hey, everybody, don't forget, American Chopper, all new episode tomorrow night at 9, 8 Central, only on TLC.
The
case goes back to 1964, but even though so much time has passed, federal authorities now believe they can prove who killed two black teenagers in Mississippi. CBS's Stephanie Lambidakis reports a suspect was arrested today.
Now old and sick, reputed Klansman James Seal has been charged with kidnapping that led to the deaths of the two teens, Henry D. and Charles Moore. Seal has always been a prime suspect, but Mississippi dropped the case and it lay dormant for decades. In this revived investigation, prosecutors found a new legal avenue, establishing a federal connection because Seal allegedly crossed state lines briefly from Louisiana into Mississippi.
For years, Seal's relatives tried to protect him by telling reporters he was dead. Senator John Kerry almost beat President Bush in 2004.
We came close, certainly close enough to be tempted to try again.
But Kerry announced today he will resist that temptation.
This isn't the time for me to mount a presidential campaign.
Instead, he'll run for re-election to the Senate from Massachusetts. Roger Simon is chief political columnist at Politico.com.
As the former nominee of the Democratic Party, he had, to some people's thinking, almost a duty to run again. But the Democrats rarely nominate someone who has lost.
After his botched joke last fall, Simon doesn't think Kerry could raise the money for a credible campaign. Following up on his State of the Union proposal to cut gasoline consumption, President Bush visited the DuPont plant in Wilmington, Delaware today.
Our patented technology.
He got a briefing on research into alternative fuels and gave employees his vision of the automotive future.
One of these days, you're going to plug your car in your garage, and you're going to be able to drive the first 20 miles on electricity. And your car is not going to have to look like a golf cart.
The administration proposes to spend $1.6 billion to develop new sources of ethanol. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
So where do you two keep the books for your contracting business?
It's all up in the old noggin.
Yep, all our sales figures are right in his head.
I see. Does that concern you?
Not at all.
Every waking moment.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
We need that.
Are you sure? I got it all right here.
I'm sure.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at CompUSA, OfficeMax, or Circuit City.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot. I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry. I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch at drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and...
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Washington, D.C., in the studios of the Center for American Progress. I'm delighted you're listening, whether you're in Phoenix, Monterey, Coos Bay, Oregon, or our fabulous listeners in Eureka, Humboldt County, California. My lines are open for you if you'd like to join the conversation. We're getting reaction to the President's State of the Union message and covering some other issues of note here in the nation's capital. And my toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I want to thank Peter O. and also Theo and the team here at Center for American Progress. They're working overtime as just about every progressive talk show host has descended on the nation's capital for the post-State of the Union analysis. Ed Schultz is in town. Tom Hartman will be here tomorrow. Our friend Mike Newcomb, Dr. Mike from Phoenix, is originating from here this week. And John Elliott, just about everybody, the Young Turks, and many others. I hope I haven't left anybody out. But it's quite a confab. And tomorrow we'll be originating at the Mayflower Hotel, which is the site of the Families USA Healthcare Conference. And it's interesting, the president has acknowledged the seriousness of the problems in healthcare, and we'll have a number of different experts on various aspects of that who will bring you some interesting proposals and critiques of the president's plans. Joining us now is Shane Katadal. He has been on our program before, staff attorney at the Center for Constitutional Rights. Their website is ccr-ny.org. And I'm a big fan of the Center for Constitutional Rights because they're fighting hard to preserve what I consider to be the critical freedoms guaranteed to us in the Constitution, many of which have been seriously eroded under this presidency.
Shane has been at CCR since 2001. He works on the major case about the NSA illegal domestic spying program, as well as the Center's Patriot Act case and other issues. Shane, good to talk with you again.
Well, thanks for having me, Peter.
Well, I wanted to get your reaction to the incredible, or at least what appears on the face of it to be, an amazing flip-flop by the administration as delivered by Alberto Gonzalez, the Attorney General and crony of the President, who kind of stunned the Judiciary Committee in the Senate last week, first with a letter and then his testimony, that after evading the law and refusing to abide by the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA, that all of a sudden they have found a way to get the court to operate in a manner that they approve of, and so now they're going to conduct domestic surveillance under the FISA court. I have many questions about this, but tell me, first of all, can we take this at face value?
Well, I don't really think that we can. You know, my initial reaction to this, you know, when we were talking to our co-counsel, you know, there were two possibilities. One is that we won, that they got convinced somehow that they really ought to be obeying the law and decided to sort of, you know, amend their ways. But the other is simply that they managed to somehow convince a judge on the FISA court to give them authority that is really way beyond what is provided for in the statute to go ahead and do the sort of surveillance that they were doing, which, you know, essentially is surveillance where they decide who is a worthy target, you know, when there is sufficient evidence to create probable cause or suspicion. And then they decide really who you know, they're allowed to listen to without ever really running the specific individual facts of any, you know, particular wiretap past a court.
Well, and Gonzalez was evasive when senators asked him point blank. He refused to describe details that he claimed were operational, but they said, look, we want to know the constitutional issues. Are you applying this on an individual basis with probable cause? He would not answer that question.
That's right. And I think, you know, one of the reasons that people in Congress would be skeptical is because the administration really proposed a bill, basically, you know, sort of sending it through Arlen Specter. It was announced as kind of a compromise bill, but I think it's pretty clear to anyone who studied the details that the administration wrote Specter's compromise bill. And Specter's bill would have allowed the FISA court essentially to approve a whole program of surveillance. And, you know, to describe what that means, I really have to step back a bit. The ordinary situation with wiretaps, whether they're domestic wiretaps under Title III of the Wiretap Act or whether they're sort of foreign intelligence gathering wiretaps under the FISA statute, is that law enforcement has to go to a court with enough evidence to prove that a target is worthy of suspicion. You know, a little bit of evidence that shows that they're linked with crimes or terrorism or working for a foreign government, something like that. The judge reviews that and serves as kind of an impartial referee. And if the evidence, you know, reaches the sort of threshold that's necessary, which is called probable cause, then the judge can issue a warrant. And the warrant is this written document that's supposed to put limits on the discretion of law enforcement in terms of what they can listen to. Mm-hmm. So it says you can only listen to this phone line. You can only listen to these sorts of conversations. If a lawyer is talking to this person and it's, you know, privileged information, then you've got to turn your recorder off. All those sorts of safeguards. And so the idea there is basically you've always got to have an individualized review of the facts of each situation, each individual wiretap, mm-hmm. by a judge. Now, Specter's bill...
Shane, may I just insert that what you're describing, the probable cause language, is not simply a policy. It's not even simply an act of Congress that could be altered. It is part of the Bill of Rights embedded in our Constitution.
Right. It was incredibly important to the founders because if you'll remember, you know, from your old civics and history classes, King George had issued all sorts of writs of assistance or general warrants that basically allowed his agents to search, you know, anyone and anywhere they pleased, basically, in order to find people who were evading his taxes or were publishing scandal sheets or that sort of thing. You know, and so this was a really huge issue with the colonists and the sort of O.J. Simpson cases of the day during the Revolutionary period were these two search and seizure cases from England where judges actually said that the Crown needed to go through this sort of process and that they couldn't issue general warrants, but they had to sort of do searches on an individualized basis with court approval.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a really big issue to the people who wrote the Constitution, and you're right, it's in the Fourth Amendment.
Go ahead and proceed. I interrupted you.
Oh, sure. Well, so, you know, the bill that Spector and basically the administration had put before the last Congress just before the election essentially said, no, you know, you don't have to go to the court on an individualized basis every, you know, and have the court vet every single target. Rather, you can just sort of create a general scheme, a program of surveillance. You know, in this case with the NSA program, it would be, you know, they're saying anytime we suspect someone, we, the executive, suspect someone of being linked to terrorism, you know, we get to decide whether or not the evidence establishes that they're linked to terrorism. And as long as they're making international calls where one person on the line is linked to terrorism, then we can listen to their calls and their emails. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the idea behind the Spector bill was basically that you could bring that kind of proposal to the FISA court, explain why it was important to be able to do this sort of thing, and then they just give the executive that sort of carte blanche to do surveillance without ever having judges review the evidence in each individual instance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so because this proposal was out there, you know, the first thought that I had and a lot of skeptical Congress people had was that, you know, this is in fact what they've done. That, you know, there are 11 district court judges who sit on the FISA court, and maybe they went to the one that was the most sympathetic, and they got that person to issue an order saying, okay, this whole scheme of NSA surveillance is going to be okay. Now, that sort of order is way beyond what's permissible, what these judges are empowered to do under the FISA statute. But the problem is that FISA warrants are top secret. You know, they're never routinely disclosed to the public or to the targets of the surveillance. You know, unless the information gets introduced in a criminal trial down the road, you never really know that this stuff has happened. And so that's a problem we're faced with right now. They've gotten some sort of orders from one judge. We don't know which judge. They got them on January 10th, and they, according to Gonzalez, these orders allow the government to do exactly the kind of surveillance they were doing under the NSA program. And you know, it's such a cozy arrangement for them that the president has decided he's not going to bother reauthorizing the NSA program. They're going to stop doing that, and all that surveillance is moving under the umbrella of these orders that they got from one sympathetic FISA judge.
All right, we'll pick up there after the break, but I want to take a call, and Dave's on the line from Humboldt. Hello, Dave. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. Shane, I have no doubt but that words from this administration means nothing at all. They will fully intend to continue monitoring whoever they want to monitor, political enemies and demonstrators and such. And Peter, I'm so happy you're there. I hope you're going to recruit a few members of Congress to the crooked voting side to see it open their eyes a bit, huh?
Well, you know, I always work on that, Dave, and it's because you remind me.
Well, I'm reminding you again.
Yes, you are. Thank you, brother.
Crooked voting machines is the enemy. That's the problem.
All right. Thanks for the call. Nice to talk with you. We're going to take a break and return with Shane Cotadal from the Center for Constitutional Rights. If you have a question or comment about the NSA program and the way the administration says that they have now legalized what was clearly lawbreaking on a very widespread basis, in my view, feel free to join us. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
And good afternoon. I am Frank Sullivan with a look at KRXA traffic. Couple of things to tell you about, and thankfully not a lot going on the area roadways. We are going to begin first and foremost in San Jose with the problem southbound 85. That is just past Saratoga Avenue. You're not looking at an accident there any longer. That's a four-car crash that has now been taken off of the freeway, but expect some slow and go if you're in the area heading between Cupertino and the Almaden Valley in San Jose. A bit closer to home, you're not finding a lot of slowing on Highway 101 coming out of the Coyote Valley down towards Watsonville. A little bit of slowing past the Gilroy outlets, but that's about it. Not too bad. And we're not hearing of any major delays on Highway 1 heading into Monterey or Carmel. Do still have the slowing on the fish hook, as we always do, on southbound 17.
8-5, Peter B. Shane, as we were discussing in the first segment, the flip-flop by Alberto Gonzalez is not really going to change things much. They reserve the right to wiretap without a warrant if they think the exigencies require it. They're not giving us the details about this secret FISA court ruling that they claim regularizes this lawbreaking. And one of the vulnerabilities that they had hoped to cover with the bill that Arlen Specter was carrying and California Senator Dianne Feinstein was willing to co-sponsor really would have provided amnesty for the lawbreaking that has occurred since sometime after September 11th. They're now exposed, in my view. What do you think are the remedies available to those of us who believe that significant lawbreaking occurred and accountability is in order?
Well, I mean, I think you're really touching on, a lot of concerns about the timing of this. First of all, it was Heather Wilson's bill had the immunity language, particularly for telephone companies, which is something that's, you know, even the Democratic Congress may see a little bit of pressure on. But you're right. I think the flip-flop on this was, you know, essentially dictated by the fact that they were about to get called to account in two different ways. One of them is by the judicial process. The ACLU's case, which is very similar to our case, and has advanced to the appellate level already because they got a great ruling from a good judge in Detroit on it.
Anna Diggs Taylor.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Now, that case is about to be argued next Wednesday before the Sixth Circuit, the Court of Appeals for that part of the country. So about a week before Gonzalez's announcement, there was a classified filing made in the appeal. So we don't know what the document was. Only the government knows what they filed and the judges. But presumably it was these orders that had come from the FISA court. It may be the case that what Gonzalez is trying to do here is say, essentially, look, all these legal challenges to the warrantless surveillance are moot because now we have surveillance that's been checked off by the FISA court. And whereas all these plaintiffs were saying, look, the government, you know, has already admitted enough facts about the program that we can prove that we win on our claims, when it comes to this new program, the FISA court order itself is secret. So since the plaintiffs will never be able to get a copy of the order, you know, you can't ever rule in their favor, and therefore you have to dismiss these cases. So it may be a way of cutting off the court process. And then it also may be, have been an attempt to take some of the steam out of the investigatory process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it may be the case that they realized that Congress was going to hold hearings on this, and that the people on judiciary committees were really gung-ho about it, and maybe they would, you know, pop their balloon a little bit by, mm-hmm. By you know, announcing that suddenly they were going to do this all pursuant to court oversight.
Now,
and who knows if they'll give the orders to Congress?
Your colleagues,
that's an open question.
Your colleagues at CCR have gone to Germany to seek an indictment of Donald Rumsfeld for war crimes related to Guantanamo and certain other issues. Do you think ultimately we'll have to seek a venue like that to bring Gonzalez and others to justice over this NSA program?
Well, I think it's a little bit tougher, you know, to characterize this sort of thing as a violation of international law that that you know criminal courts in other countries are going to be concerned with. One of the great things about our complaint in Germany is that so many U.S. military bases and transit points are located there.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes a big, big problem for U.S. military officials who've participated in, you know, essentially crimes against humanity and torture, that sort of thing.
It also prevents Rumsfeld from vacationing in Bavaria.
That's right. No more beer holidays for him in October. You know, but you know, the bottom line on this is, I think the current existing processes can work. You know, we have good arguments for why our case is not moot, even if you know they have somehow sanitized the program. And certainly, mm-hmm. Congress, it appears, is going to push hard on this. The Democratic Congress people have been briefed very preliminarily in a very sort of sketchy way, and most of them are pretty skeptical. Even Heather Wilson, who had offered that sort of immunity mm-hmm. bill. Has come out and said that she didn't think that you know that their program was really sort of kosher. That what was shown to her was something that would you know sort of fully sanitize the program.
Mm-hmm. Also, it encourages me that federal Judge Vaughn Walker in San Francisco, with whom I'm familiar, has paid attention and tried to dismiss the claims of state secrets that have been presented to try to dismiss the cases that have been consolidated before him.
Mm-hmm. That's right. The state secrets privilege is something the government has used to try to kill all these wiretapping cases, whether they're against private phone companies or against government officials, and also to try to kill the cases involving rendition of detainees to third countries to be tortured. And we have a pretty prominent case in that regard also with a Canadian citizen.
Maher Arar, yes.
Basically what it says is that, you know, look, there's some information we, the executive branch, think is so secret that we can't even show it to a federal judge in closed chambers.
Mm-hmm.
To let them decide a case. And if you need that sort of information to decide a case, well, then you've just got to dismiss the case. And beyond that, the judge never gets to look at the underlying information to decide if it really is that secret and that vital. The executive branch gets to make that decision all by itself.
And I'll
point out, like a caricature, but it's really what they're arguing in these cases.
And the judge presiding over the Libby trial, Reggie Walton, permitted the State Secret Act to be used to silence Sybil Edmonds, which I think is a great constitutional violation. Kat in Phoenix, join us on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Okay.
Can you hear me okay? That's my first question.
Yes, and the NSA can too.
Wonderful. Hello, hello, NSA. I was on my cell phone, so I wondered. Really, my question for you is, am I right in saying that there's basically no way to avoid this at all if anyone has any suspicion whatsoever? I mean, just, like, live in a cave and don't talk on the phone?
Well, what's your take, Shane?
It's a good question. You know, I mean, the thing that inspired us to bring this case was that, you know, when we read the first descriptions of the program in December 2005, Gonzalez has said, look, you know, we're listening to international calls, calls where one person's in the U.S. and one's outside, where one of the parties on the phone is someone we suspect of some link to terrorism. And that's
if Al-Qaeda's calling America, we want to know.
Right.
But not just Al-Qaeda. You know, I mean, any group, you know, essentially involved in terrorism or supporting terrorism by their...
Well, we know from the sheer mass of what's been outlined that it has to go beyond Al-Qaeda calling America.
Well, of course. I mean, and that's what I thought, too, is, you know, how does this affect the average Joe or Jane, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, we, you know, one of the things we think makes our suit so strong is, you know, that we are attorneys who represent, you know, precisely, you know, people who've gotten caught up in the administration's war on terror and its detention and interrogation practices. And those people are, you know, most of them located overseas. So, for instance, all the people who were swept up in immigration sweeps or the families and witnesses in the Guantanamo detainee cases, sometimes released Guantanamo detainees, they're all overseas. They have to call us. in order to, you know, sort of work with us on their cases. And so by, you know, eavesdropping on these sort of conversations, we're forced to basically, you know, sort of renounce the use of the phone and the email for sensitive conversations. And that means that essentially by announcing that they're doing this program, the administration has made it much harder for us to bring cases challenging their other illegal conduct in court.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah.
And I just think that this is so shameful because, you know, I don't like the idea that somebody's privacy is threatened. I don't like the idea that somebody's liberties are threatened. I just don't like that at all.
And what I don't like is people who say, I don't care about the Constitution. Somebody wants to attack us and I want to be protected. That's just so backwards. And I heard a talk show host on a Fresno radio station say exactly that last week. Kat, thank you for your call.
You know, Shane, it's easy enough for them to get warrants. Out of the 19,000 times that the government has gone to the FISA court, they've only been rejected 5 times in the last
20 years. It's hardly a crisis there. Shane, thank you for your work. Do press on. You're doing a great effort to protect all of us and to preserve our constitutional rights. And I, for one, am very grateful.
Well, thank you, Peter.
Shane from the Center for Constitutional Rights on the web, ccr-ny.org. Coming up next, we open up the lines to hear from you, your reaction to the President's State of the Union message. Call me now, 888-5-PETER-B. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
What did Nancy do? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. We saw a muted president last night. The pre-Pelosi president...
The only way we can lose is if we lose our nerve.
...is now the post-Pelosi president.
This is not the fight we entered in Iraq, but it is the fight we're in.
The we're not leaving president...
We're not leaving so long as I'm the president. That would be a huge mistake.
...is now the give war a chance president.
Our country is pursuing a new strategy in Iraq, and I ask you to give it a chance to work.
For the first time, a president gave his speech with a woman looking over his shoulder, and the big question was, when would Nancy clap? Affordable health care, a clap, and a stand. Changing the tax code to make it affordable, no clap, no stand. And so it went. Don't you wish we could just cut to the chase? The State of the Union is the one time all the branches of the federal government are all together, and they're sitting in a chamber that has an electronic voting machine. Why don't they just stick their cards into that machine and vote? The Washington Post writes that when Bush talked about medical lawsuit reform, Speaker Pelosi took a drink of water. Then he talked about succeeding in Iraq, and she wiped her lips. What does that mean? Yes? No? Just a leftover drop from her lawsuit sip? Just take the vote! Everybody's there, including the generals. They could send little hand signals. And if any program was constitutionally questionable, even the Supreme Court is there. They could vote, too. Line by line, we could settle each issue in 10 seconds. And then get on with the 2008 campaign, which is all anybody cares about anyway. Now this.
You know when you open a birthday card from Grandma? She's usually good for, what, like $5? Well, now imagine that you have 100 grandmas. It feels like that.
Have you ever gotten out of your car and something catches your eye on the ground? You walk over and find a $5 bill? Okay, now pretend you find a $495 bill next to it. It's just like that.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, Tomorrow Matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
The Billy Sunshine Show.
Billy Sunshine Show.
With Pilar. With Pilar.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something new, something different, or we'll do the same old thing, take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar.
Sundays from 3 to 5. 3 to 5.
On AM 540. KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I continue to be your humble host, Peter B. Lines open to hear from you. Give me your reaction to the President's State of the Union message last night at 888-5-PETER-B.
I was walking down the street, concentrating on trucking right. I heard a dark voice beside of me, and I looked round in a state of fright.
Oh, yeah.
I saw four faces. One man, a brother from the gutter. They looked me up and down a bit and turned to each other.
You know, I don't like reggae. I love it.
I say I don't like reggae.
The Peter B. Collins Show is a team effort, especially on the road. I want to salute Matt Renner back in the saddle at our control room in the Bay Area. He had a little surgery last week, and some people even sent get well cards. Thank you for that, and it's really great to have Matt back on board. Also, Katrina Rill is here in Washington, D.C., as our producer, helping us pull all the programs together here. And I want to thank the folks once again at the Center for American Progress. This half hour is wide open for your phone call, so if you saw the State of the Union and you have a comment, feel free to join us right now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Wanted to mention a couple of things. First up, our listeners have been teased a little bit by the reporting just about 2 weeks ago from Jason Leopold of truthout.org related to the Libby trial that's underway. I had some time this morning, and I wanted to go to the district courthouse to observe the trial, but it's standing room only and lines out the door. You have to take a number, and so I read the blog at firedoglake.com, which is where you can get real-time blogging coverage of the events in Reggie Walton's courtroom here in Washington. And what Jason had told us about is that in a footnote, it was disclosed that there was an unnamed government employee who was going to testify in the Libby trial under a grant of immunity. And we were speculating that that person was Karl Rove, and at least for my part, I was wrong. Turned out to be former press secretary Ari Fleischer, who left the scene pretty quickly after the stuff hit the fan in the issues related to the disclosure of Valerie Plame's identity as a secret CIA agent. So that mystery has evaporated. But the trial is underway, and right off the bat, Scooter Libby's team has said that he was hung out to dry as the sacrificial lamb to protect Karl Rove. Ah, this is going to be a very interesting trial. When Republicans fight Republicans, it's always fascinating. One more note before we go to your calls. I had a chance to stay at the Watergate Hotel, and I got a cheapo deal from Hotwire.com. I want to let you know that. It's an expensive place, $300 or $400 a night, but I paid far less than that. And it's a place I always wanted to visit because, of course, it was the scene of the crime that brought down the Nixon administration. And I benefited from that. I was a young talk show host in Chicago, and the Watergate saga was something that we covered in detail, and it was fascinating at the time. And my visit there occurred at the same time as the death of E. Howard Hunt. He was in his 80s, and as I left the hotel this morning, the doorman told me that he's worked there for 40 years. He was working there when the burglary occurred, and he had some interesting things to add to that picture. So that was something that I enjoyed here on my visit to Washington. Now to your phone calls here at the Peter B. Collins Show, 888-5. Peter B. is our toll-free number. Donald in Phoenix, you're up first. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Doing great, thanks. How about you?
I love your show, sir.
Well, thank you.
I just wanted to comment that I thought the most pathetic thing I saw last night was our senator from Phoenix, Arizona, John...
McCain?
Yeah, McCain.
Now, they're both named John, so I had a 50-50 chance.
The cowardly beermeister, John McCain.
Uh-huh.
I thought that he slipped through the whole thing, even though it was a lousy speech to begin with. And I just wanted to make that comment.
John McCain is having a personal surge.
Yeah, I guess so. Thank you, Peter. You're doing great.
Thank you, Donald. Now to Deborah in Phoenix. Hello, Deborah. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
I want to thank you. You make my afternoon drive home bearable. The traffic in Phoenix is getting horrible, and it's just so great to listen to you.
Well, thanks for letting me hitchhike along with you.
Although I felt nauseous by the end of Bush's speech, I did find some humor in it. I don't know if anybody has pointed out, I thought when he was talking about climate change, he said the glacier levels are rising instead of glacial levels are rising.
Yeah.
And
you know, English, it's tough for them.
Yeah, I know. And also, when he was talking about oil, didn't Cheney have a little smirk on his face? Didn't it feel like he was smiling?
I really enjoyed, often I was not even looking at the president. I was watching that framed shot with Pelosi and Cheney behind him. And the Washington Post did an interesting feature story chronicling, you know, who got up to clap at what point in the president's speech. And it's really amusing because at one point I saw Dick Cheney sneak a mint and pop it in his mouth.
Right.
And he does deadpan better than anybody I can think of in public life. He can sit there with the blankest expression on his face for the longest time. And Pelosi can't do that. Her lips move, you know, her mouth is active, and her... I was also watching the blink ratio. Pelosi blinks her eyelids about 40 times more per minute than Dick Cheney does. The guy barely blinks at all, and I really wonder what's going on in there.
Did you also know Nancy, she had this sort of serene look on her face at the beginning, like she was saying, I can do this. And then as the speech went on, her expression got more and more, you know, sour. And by the end, it looked to me like she was just really struggling to look gracious.
Well, she is a mother of five. Do you think she helped herself to a mother's little helper, a little Valium before that?
I hope so. You know, I have one quick question, too. You were talking about cutting off the funding.
Yeah.
Does the Bush administration have funds hidden around, like in Homeland Security? And if they did, in fact, cut off the funds, you know, I think I heard somebody say that Bush had money somewhere else where he could keep going for a while.
It's really hard to say, but my impression is that there is a lot of money in the pipeline. And if we cut them off cold turkey, say, tomorrow, I believe that the last supplemental could carry the current effort, even with the escalation, through much of the summer, if not a little further. And, of course, they have a huge... The Pentagon budget has been expanded so much during the past 5 years that I think that there is wiggle room there. They might have to postpone a weapons program and disappoint a contractor like Blackwater or Boeing. But I do think that even though I support a cutoff of funds, and I believe that ultimately it's going to be the only way to smack this guy upside the head and get his attention, practically speaking, there is so much money in the pipeline, and these supplementals are for funding, you know, subsequent to that, that I think he could press on for at least another 6 to 9 months without any further funds. That's my guess, but I don't want to pretend that I've really pored over the books and come up with a CPA answer.
I just wish they'd do a binding resolution soon.
Well, then on that note, let me bring this up. You can comment on it. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee took up the Hagel-Levin and other Democrat, Biden, resolution today. And it passed out of the committee with only one Republican vote, and that is the vote of Chuck Hagel. And this is disappointing. Last hour, Joe Cirincione was here predicting that this kind of a resolution might get as many as 30 Republican votes on the Senate floor. This committee vote does not bode well for that prediction. So it's still hunkering down along party lines. There were a couple of amendments offered. Chris Dodd wanted to put a cap on troops, and that failed 15-6. Coleman, the Republican of Minnesota, who Al Franken's probably going to challenge, proposed a cheerleader resolution showing support for the increase in troops in Anbar, and that failed 17-4. And then Russ Feingold said that he chastises fellow lawmakers, and he would seek passage of legislation in a few months to cut off funds for the war. And ultimately, I'm afraid that's going to be necessary. I do think that the war powers issue should be the next thing that they focus on. Thanks for your call, Deborah. Good to talk to you.
Okay.
And let's go to Mike in Westminster, South Carolina. Hello, Mike. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. It's good to talk to you again. I'm streaming you on the net. And just wanted to tell you it was really great last night to watch the most powerful person in the world. And she stood up and clapped every now and then. You know, I'm talking about Nancy Pelosi. Yeah.
Yep.
I wanted to address the president's remarks about health care. You know, what a ridiculous idea that is that he had.
Oh, wait a minute. You don't see the brilliance. This president has used tax cuts to fix everything, Mike. And now he's going to fix the health care system with tax credits.
I tell you what, you know, these people don't have a clue about, you know, the health care system in America is broken. It needs fundamental reform. What we need is a good single-payer system. And you know, it would go a long way towards freeing people to do what they want to do. They won't be locked in under the corporate thumb anymore if we go to a system that gives universal health care to everybody.
Well, Mike, I want to, since you care about this issue, I want to invite you in particular to listen tomorrow, because we came to Washington in part to cover the Families USA Health Care Conference. And we have a number of policy specialists. They're not big-name people, but these are the people who have helped develop some of these landmark programs in Massachusetts and other states around the country. And so we're going to focus almost exclusively on health care issues tomorrow.
Peter,
and you'll get some very strong reaction to the president's proposal. Go ahead, Mike.
Peter, the fact of the matter is, though, what Mitt Romney's talking about there in Massachusetts, what Schwarzenegger's talking about in California, is not the solution to the problem. The solution to the problem is to get the insurance companies out of it, because I work in the healthcare business, and 25% to 40% of the money that goes to the insurance companies is scraped off the top. It's cream,
mm-hmm.
and it never gets to the healthcare providers. And so much of this money, as everybody ages and they reach age 65 and go on Medicare, which they have to go on because the corporations don't cover you anymore when you reach that age, we're putting the people that require the most expensive and the most health care on the government dole, and then we're letting the insurance companies scam off 20% to 40% of the young people's premiums who don't even use the system very much. And all of that money, if it's redirected towards a single-payer system, could make the whole thing solvent, and it could solve all of our problems.
Well, Mike, I fully agree with you, and I'll just up the ante a little. I think, in very simple language, that our experiment with for-profit delivery of medical care has been an abject failure.
Amen.
We've got to face it, and we need to also look at the limits of single-payer health care and the problems that occur in the Canadian and English systems and address them as much as we can.
Oh, absolutely.
But we need to make sure that basic health care services are available and affordable for every American, whatever it takes.
And that's certainly not happening in America today, because we're paying more for our health care than any other industrialized country, nearly twice as much, and we actually have, you know, we die sooner, and we have a higher infant mortality rate than these other people do. We have a system that's terribly broken, and it needs to be fixed. The problem is not overutilization of the system, people running, you know, to the doctor for every little thing. It's underutilization of the system.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mike, I appreciate your call. Thanks for joining in, and please check in tomorrow, because we'll be covering these issues in detail. We're going to take a break and return for more of your phone calls. Lines available, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Coming up next hour, journalist Robert Dreyfus will join us, and Andrea Schlesinger from the Drum Major Institute, her analysis of the president's speech on the domestic issues related to the interests of middle-class Americans and working families. That's all ahead, live from Washington, D.C., here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunetaRealEstate.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
And good afternoon. I'm Frank Sullivan, KRXA Traffic. We have a couple of problems to report. Capitola, southbound Highway 1 at Bay Avenue, an accident cleared there. We have problems in Soledad. This is northbound 101 at Cambora Gloria Road. An object on the roadway, a small ice chest reportedly in lanes. And Monterey County, some road construction tonight. Highway 1 from about a mile north of the Lamekian Creek Bridge to Highway 1 south of Lucia. One lane will be closed. A temporary traffic signal will be in place while Caltrans installs a new wall there. And one other thing to tell you about Santa Cruz, we have some slowing on the Fishhook southbound Highway 17 over to southbound 1. That is a look at traffic. I'm Frank Sullivan on KRXA 540.
Live from Washington, D.C. at the Center for American Progress, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. You can join the conversation. We're getting your reaction to the President's State of the Union message. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. As I mentioned, tomorrow we'll be live from the Mayflower Hotel, and it's just a couple of blocks from the White House. We're going to be hearing from a number of experts on health care. And it should be a very interesting program. I hope you'll join us for that. And Friday, again live from Washington, we'll be giving you more coverage of the healthcare conference and a preview of the big protest march protesting the Iraq war that occurs in Washington this Saturday. And we've landed an interview that we've been seeking for months, Lieutenant Aaron Watata, the courageous lieutenant who has refused to return to Iraq and is facing court-martial. He'll be with us to tell his story. That's coming up Friday here on the Peter B. Collins Show. More of your calls now. Joe in Phoenix, you're next. Hi, Joe. You're on the air. Let's see. Push a few buttons there, Matt. Joe, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
There you go. Good. How's the weather back there?
It's not too bad. It snowed on Sunday, and, you know, the daytime highs have been around 40, and overnight drops into the 30s, but it's not too bad.
There you go. Well, listen, good show as usual. I listened to or watched the president speak last night, and then I saw Senator Webb speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's got their pet peeves on the issues that they think are important: health care, immigration, Social Security, et cetera, et cetera. But Peter B., the real issue, the one thing that is consuming our nation economically, treasure-wise, life and limb-wise, is the Iraq War. That has to be, in my view, the number one priority. Excuse me. And because think of all the money that's been spent on Iraq. Think of how that could solve the health care problem. Think of how that could solve education problems. Think of how that could solve transportation problems, rebuilding of infrastructure, maybe subsidizing NASA, the space program. We can go on and on. Just figure out all the billions, the trillions that have been devoted to this bullcrap war that we, all that money could have been diverted. And this president last night fooled the American people by all of a sudden pandering to everybody so we could all be fat, dumb, and happy. Oh, yeah, neat. He says all the right things. And the Democrats, oh, yeah, ooh, ah, ooh, ee, we love this stuff. And then Webb gets up there. You know, if you had a chance to vote for George W. Bush or John McCain or Hillary Clinton or James Webb, who would you vote for? I vote for Webb. That guy spoke out. He spoke straight. And I liked it when he said, you know, we, those of us who have served, we owed it to our leaders to follow them. But and we had a duty to do that. But they had a duty to us to make sure that they didn't recklessly put us in the war.
I agree.
And that you know, whatever war we went to, it was worth making the ultimate sacrifice for. And if this president will do the right thing, we'll follow him. And if he doesn't, we'll show him the way. And I hope that was more than a challenge to Bush and more than a challenge to the Republicans. I hope that was a challenge that was understood by the Democrats, who need to do more than just simply say, woe is me, let's sit around, hold hands, and sing Kumbaya. This president must be stopped, and I think he's challenging everybody to say, you can't stop us. The only way you can stop us is to impeach both me and the vice president. If he wants to call a bluff, we ought to do it.
Joe? That was brilliant, and you cited Jim Webb's final two or three lines verbatim. Good for you.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate the call.
You have a great show, Peter B. I enjoy it, and thank you for allowing me to talk.
My pleasure. Now to John in Phoenix. And by the way, Dr. Mike Newcomb, who hosts the morning show on KPHX, is also here in Washington, originating this week. So it's a great way for you in Phoenix to hear what's going on here in the Capitol. Go ahead, John.
Afternoon, Peter. I just wanted to make some comments on the wiretapping there. I work here in IT here in Phoenix, and you know, the thing is, I'm surprised nobody's hit on the fact that you know, you could use voice over IP phones, and you know, these terrorists are not stupid, and they could use voice over IP phones, real easy to set up.
Mm-hmm.
You just give them an IP address, and they even you just go down a, you know, Radio Shack, Best Buy, or anywhere, and pick up these voice over IP phones. Even though they got ones with wireless enabled,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, you can go to a Starbucks or anywhere in the world, really. That has,
and I've never used Skype or these systems. Do they have independent encryption?
Yes, they actually got encryption on it. In fact, they got the encryption that's higher than government standards, in fact. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, really, I don't understand why, you know, they're doing the wiretapping, you know, for the terror's sake. I mean, obviously, they're not stupid, and I know that they're using this technology, probably, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you know, with the encryption on that, there's just no way you could really tap into that. Unless the only thing I could think of is they're just getting the American public used to being watched all the time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I agree. I think that when you look at what has been disclosed, the data mining of our phone records, the tapping of international calls, perhaps domestic calls, as well as email intercepts, those techniques are known to the terrorists. And it's silly to believe that by continuing this effort that we're going to break up the next terrorist plot. And that said, I still think that the cost is too high, even if that were the case, to violate potentially the civil liberties of tens of thousands, if not millions, of Americans. It's just flat wrong. John, thank you for the call. Now
absolutely.
To Barbara in Cave Creek. Welcome, Barbara. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi. I just wanted to mention that I think this morning it happened to be on a Fox News local channel here. They were interviewing somebody they interview every morning about the economy and the market. And he said that it was, and they were, you know, this is Fox, local Fox News, said that it was pretty stupid for the president to say he's going to double our oil reserves. He should have just done it and then talk about it, because they are going to raise the price of oil now that we're going to buy so much.
Well, and the,
it's our money, and
the spot oil, Barbara,
today.
Barbara, the spot oil price has come down from its peak last summer. We're now in the $55 a barrel range. And Bush is going to take oil off a scarce market, which is likely to drive up prices.
Right.
And you're correct that by tipping our hand that we're increasing the reserves, we look defensive. And, of course, we've never tapped into those reserves, to my knowledge, in any way to combat market conditions or the efforts by OPEC or others to reduce our access. So we need a clear policy about how those reserves will be used before we commit to adding to it in the ways that we just described. Thanks a lot there, Barbara. I appreciate
Great.
It. That's all the time we have for your calls this hour, but you're welcome to continue to listen and call. Robert Dreyfus is going to join us after the news, and Andrea Schlesinger from the Drum Major Institute will be with us next hour as well. Live from Washington, D.C., you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Visit my website, peterbcollins.com.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. With the arrest of a 72-year-old man in Roxie, Mississippi, the FBI believes it solved another crime from the civil rights era. James Seal is charged in connection with the deaths of Charles Moore and Henry D., 19-year-old black youths who were beaten and dumped still alive in the Mississippi River. That was 43 years ago.
There was never a belief, even among the media who investigate these kind of cases, there was never a belief that this was actually, that it would ever happen.
Donna Ladd, editor-in-chief of the Jackson Free Press, was surprised to learn that Seal was still alive. His family had been telling reporters he'd died. Reputedly, Seal was a member of the Ku Klux Klan who had always been a suspect in the case, but the FBI, preoccupied with other racial murders, turned this one over to local authorities, and the case was promptly dropped. Mark Potok of the Southern Poverty Law Center is thrilled with this turn of events.
It sends a message to the small number of people who are still interested in this kind of racial violence, that, you know, if you engage in this kind of conduct, even if it's four decades later, you will go to prison one day, or you will be prosecuted.
The U.S. commander in Afghanistan has asked for and gotten more troops to cope with the resurgence of al-Qaeda and Taliban fighters. 3,200 troops of the Army's 10th Mountain Division are having their tours extended by 4 months. The military buildup in Iraq got a thumbs down on Capitol Hill today.
In a direct slap at President Bush, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee voted for a non-binding resolution opposing sending more troops to Iraq, saying it's not in the nation's interests. Democratic Chairman Joe Biden.
Is the wrong way to go, and in fact, I believe we'll have the opposite, emphasize the opposite effect that the president intends.
All but one Republican voted against the resolution, but they didn't exactly give the president a stirring defense. Alaska's Lisa Murkowski.
I happen to disagree with the president on the surge.
The Iraq resolution will go to the full Senate next week. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
John Kerry thought about it, but with so many others already in the race, he announced today he will not take a second shot at the White House.
I intend to devote all my efforts and energies over the coming 2 years, not to another race for the presidency for myself, but to doing whatever I can to ensure that the next president can take the oath with a reasonable prospect of success for him or her, for the United States.
Kerry will be running for re-election to his Massachusetts Senate seat in 2008. If Crisco can do it, maybe anyone can. A kitchen staple for 95 years, Crisco has been reformulated to virtually eliminate trans fats. The maker says the new formula performs just the same in cooking with no increase in saturated fat. We get a two-day reprieve from the tax man this year because April 15th is a Sunday and the 16th is a legal holiday in Washington. The IRS says we have until midnight on the 17th to file our returns. The Dow up 87 points, a new record close. This is CBS News.
Did you know your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury may be trying to tell you something? Just look at your oil change sticker or your odometer. They tell an important message, when to change your oil. And when it is time, be sure to visit your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer.
I can help. I got two strong lungs. I can help.
Right now, the Works Fuel Saver Package is just $36.95 or less. That's a Motocraft synthetic blend oil change, tire rotation, fluid top off, multi-point inspection, and more. Just $36.95. And no appointment is necessary. Now that's convenient. Genuine Ford parts. Expert service. Low prices. We've got everything you need.
You need a hand, I can assure you.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service. We're better. We're proving it. And we want you to be the judge. Hurry into your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer today. Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, and diesel vehicles extra. Disposal fee may apply. See participating dealership for service hours and details through 31807.
CBS News correspondent John Harchie reports there's some concern about the new generation of birth control pills.
A panel of gynecologists, obstetricians, and others told the FDA that while serious side effects like blood clots are rarely seen with contraceptives, they're tough to predict. The panel says drug makers should collect more data after their pills go on the market. But they also recognize drug makers may not want to spend the money for expensive follow-up studies once drugs are approved. An area of concern? Most studies do not include overweight women or smokers, making safety for them unclear.
The experts also worry that the new lower-dose pills are less effective than the first oral contraceptives introduced in the 1960s. While the new pills can reduce the risk of side effects, their failure rate is higher. More women taking the pills get pregnant. Another queasy cruise ship. Officials say more than 300 people aboard the Queen Elizabeth II have come down with stomach flu during its round-the-world voyage. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Have you heard the one about the guy who's looking for a good used car and actually finds one? No, really. That's because he got a Honda certified used car. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. And now get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. Hey, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Hey, I'm here with the Tuttles from TLC's American Chopper.
Hey, this is Mike.
Paul Sr.
Paul Jr.
So, hey, Polly, I hear you're gearing up for a new season now on TLC, the Learning Channel.
What was...
Ask me a question!
Why do you do stupid things
Hey, can you tell me about the new network, TLC? What about the new shop?
I think you're delusional.
You're an idiot.
And I'd like to thank everybody.
Okay, hey, all right, guys, thanks for coming in. Hey, everybody, don't forget, American Chopper, all new episode tomorrow night at 9, 8 Central, only on TLC.
Live from Washington, D.C., the Peter B. Collins Show, Rockin' the Nation. We're at the Center for American Progress, and our live broadcast from Washington continues through the end of this week. And then I'll be so wore out, I'm going to take a week's vacation. So don't be shocked when great substitutes like Pat Morrow, Tony Truppiano, and Brad Friedman sit in for me next week. And we've got plenty of good stuff to talk about from Washington. Joining us later this hour, Andrea Schlesinger from the Drum Major Institute will get her comments on the President's State of the Union message, particularly the components related to domestic affairs. But right now, we're joined by Robert Dreyfus, an investigative reporter, journalist who writes for Mother Jones Magazine and many other publications. Where have you recently been published besides Mojo?
I write for Rolling Stone. I do national security for them. I write in The Nation. I write in The American Prospect, Washington Monthly.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who'll pay me, I'll write for them.
Yeah. Well,
almost anybody.
Before we went on the air, you offered me a few little tidbits of food for thought. And you weren't here a couple of, last hour when, it was actually 2 hours ago, time's flying, when Joe Cirincione, who is a fellow here at the Center for American Progress, joined us. Mm-hmm. And he was echoing some of the themes that we have heard from sources like Cy Hirsch, Seymour Hirsch, who writes in The New Yorker, Colonel Sam Gardner, retired Air Force here in Washington, who has been monitoring his channels, in particular about our posture toward Iran. And in the surge speech 2 weeks ago, in the State of the Union message last night, the president has framed Iran increasingly as a rogue nation that we may have to deal with sooner than later. People look at the appointment of Admiral Fallon as the new CENTCOM commander and say, well, there's a guy with skills in naval-based aerial warfare, and that could come in handy if there's an attack on Iran. And there are many people who are very concerned about this, and you have a different point of view. Tell me what you're hearing from some of your sources and why you think this may not be in the offing.
Well, I don't think it's a question of motive. I think both the leadership, the government in Iran, and the government in the United States are kind of stumbling towards something that looks like a serious confrontation. We could wake up tomorrow and find out that the United States has started a bombing campaign against Iranian nuclear facilities, mm-hmm. or that the Israelis have, or both. So I'm not dismissing the possibility, but I think under the current circumstances, you have a president who's stretched our armed forces to the breaking point. He has lost all political credibility. The American people have walked away from his war in Iraq. So to think that he could then go to the American people, even after the bombing starts, and say, this morning, our jets, blah, 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 I think is completely preposterous. I think it's politically and even physically impossible. I've heard people say to me that people at the Joint Chiefs of Staff would walk out if the president ordered an attack on Iran, because our troops in Iraq are so exposed and mm-hmm. vulnerable to an Iranian uprising or terrorism or counterstrike of some sort. Not only that, the Europeans and the Arab countries, the ones, the Arabs who supposedly have the most to fear from Shiite Iran, that is the Sunni Arab countries like Saudi Arabia, I think they're happy to have us try to contain Iran, but they want us to talk to Iran. They want us to negotiate. The last thing they want is a war. So I'm just not buying it. I think it's possible that it could happen, but I would say the chances are minuscule that we will find ourselves at war with Iran, at least in the foreseeable future.
But aren't you guilty of rational thinking here?
Well, I'm guilty of rational analysis. I'm not saying that the president is rational. But there are physical constraints on him and political constraints on him.
Understood.
So he's not some...
He seems oblivious to them, or at least determined to ignore them.
Well, if you mean the surge in Iraq... Yes, but, you know, we're all kind of enablers in that. I mean, here we've enabled this president. The war in Iraq is not just a mistake or a blunder. It's a criminal act. We invaded a defenseless country in a war of aggression. We attacked a country that hadn't attacked us, had no WMD, no connection to 9/11, and we pulverized it and shook it up and then, you know, let the pieces fall all over the place. And even now, you know, we're kind of politely debating whether we should perhaps have a gentleman's phased withdrawal from Iraq and so forth and so on. But I don't see any politicians, very, very few, a handful, getting up and really rattling the president's cage. So we've given him running room to make this last, you know, the one last push that he's making in mm-hmm. Iraq. And everyone is kind of, I think the Democrats, I think, are shockingly lax because they're letting him blunder, and so they can blame it on him in 2 years.
Oh, but they're putting together non-binding resolutions.
Well, you know, there are things that you can do and there are things that you can't do. And I don't know if even if, you know, how much they can do to restrain the president. Even cutting off funds might take a few months because, you know, the funds have already been appropriated.
Yeah, we were just speculating about that. I would say 6 months minimum.
Yeah,
there's a lot of money in that pipeline, and there's a lot of money that's been misspent or perhaps unspent that's laying around in cash in Iraq.
Right, but even if you can't, you know, suddenly cut off the war, there are lots and lots of things that the Democrats could do, but they're afraid to come out four square for withdrawal because they're afraid then that if we pull out of Iraq and things get uglier, then Republicans in 2 years will run in 2008 saying, hey, we were trying to surge our heads off and go kill all those bad guys, and you made us leave, and now look what the mess you've made.
I call that the Curtis LeMay lament.
Yeah.
Coming out of Vietnam, the Air Force general who said, if they'd only let me nuke it, you know, we would have won there. And that misrepresentation of history lives on. Right. We still hear that kind of analysis. Oh, we could have won Vietnam. Well, so I understand your point there.
So I think that, you know, I do fault the Democrats for not being aggressive enough. And I don't know where this surge is going. I don't think it's not the surge that the neocons wanted. If you read what they've called for, Fred Kagan over at the American Enterprise Institute and others, it was 50 to 80,000 troops for at least 18 months, but even open-ended beyond that, an all-out military effort to defeat the insurgency and contain the Iranians and so forth. So,
and if there were a military solution, that would be a sensible approach.
Right.
Much more sensible than what the president has feebly put together.
So I think in a way that the president may be setting us all up. This is my optimistic scenario. The pessimistic one is he'll send another 20,000 troops in the summer. The optimistic one is that sometime in the spring or early summer, he's going to say, we gave it our best shot. I warned those darn Iraqis that if they didn't get their act together, it's not open-ended anymore. And he did say that in his recent talks, it's not open-ended.
Right.
So now we're going to start, you know, marching the other way. And, of course, it'll take him forever to get our people out of there. But at least I think he might start de-escalating. That's my optimistic scenario. I don't know. I can't read his mind. I'm not sure if his mind – I don't think I even want to think about what's going on between his ears. But I do think that the neocons have drastically lost influence in the administration. Most of the people that he's picked for top jobs in this administration are not neocons.
Well, and we need to take a break here. And that's where our conversation started a few minutes ago, because I asked you to handicap the musical chairs, the shuffle of Negroponte taking a demotion to state, of Khalilzad being called back from Baghdad to be the new John Bolton, the United Nations ambassador, and a fellow named Ryan Crocker, who you know about and who most Americans don't. I want to zero in on that shuffle, and Crocker in particular, as we continue. Lines available if you'd like to talk with journalist Robert Dreyfus here on the Peter B. Collins Show. 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. My email's working. Drop me a note. peter@peterbcollins.com. We'll continue our live broadcast from Washington, D.C. in just a couple of minutes here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Just arrived. It's Carmel, a treasure, a first, a combination calendar history book with souvenir maps archiving Carmel today. Entirely rendered in watercolors by Lisa Bryan. Stories, illustrations of local businesses, dogs, and a brief history of Carmel's first Bohemians, including today's places and characters of note. This brilliant calendar and book combo captures the charm of Carmel. A special gift, now available at Lisa's studio in Court of the Fountains and other bookstores and gift shops in Carmel.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
And once again, good afternoon. Frank Sullivan with a look at traffic on KRXA 540. It's brought to you by Office Depot. Office Depot has over 500 ink, toner, and fax supplies in store and thousands more online at unbeatable prices. Office Depot, taking care of business. We are looking at a problem in Monterey. This is southbound, or actually this is on the 68, just east of Pasadena Drive. It's unknown as to what direction of the 68 this is on. But again, Highway 68, just east of Pasadena Drive in Monterey, you're going to find a non-injury crash reported there. We have the usual slow and go on the Fishhook. It is crammed from southbound 17, in fact, on southbound 1 all the way down to Capitola. I'm Frank Sullivan. That's a look at traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show live from Washington, D.C., 20 minutes past the hour. And in the studio here at the Center for American Progress, journalist Robert Dreyfus has joined me. And Bob, we were teasing this just before the break. You and I talking off the air before you joined us, I just asked you about the shuffle that the Bush administration has undergone with John Negroponte trading in his cabinet-level post as the intelligence czar for the number two job at State, a clear demotion, not even a lateral move. Zalmay Khalilzad, who was the ambassador to Kabul, then Baghdad, has been called home to the United Nations. And Ryan Crocker, who is a longtime diplomat with heavy experience in the Middle East, is going to take over in Baghdad. And I've only read a bio of Crocker, and my first look at it was he's been at every intelligence-sensitive post in the Middle East. He's got to be a pretty spooky kind of guy. And you pointed out that he published some commentary before we went into Iraq with clear opposition to that adventure.
Yeah, it wasn't published. He was a State Department official, and he wrote a memo to Secretary of State Colin Powell in 2002, a few months before the war in Iraq started.
Mm-hmm.
And in that memo, he predicted chaos and confusion. If we attacked Iraq, he said it would be hard to control, that there would be sectarian violence, the country could verge toward breaking up, that Iran would gain influence, all the things that actually happened.
And with those kind of insights, why would he take a job like this?
He was predicting then, and he was against, as a result, he was against invading Iraq 4 years ago. He's also an Arabist. But, you know, I mean, all these new jobs, it's not just even the ones you mentioned. We have a new Secretary of Defense,
Gates.
Bob Gates, who is on record saying that we should talk to Iran, not bomb it. He headed a commission with Dr. Zbigniew Brzezinski, who worked for President Carter for the Council on Foreign Relations, a task force that said that we should open talks and deal with Iran. You have a whole bunch of people now that Gates is in the Pentagon who are leaving. A lot of the neocons are being cleaned out.
Cambone.
You have a lot of change. I wouldn't, you know, go so far as to be optimistic, but I think to some degree they've realized that their Iraq thing has got complete, the wheels have come off. We're off the tracks. We're riding through the bumpy, rocky field now. Mm-hmm. So if you look at some of the things that are happening, we're kind of back off the democracy kick. We're not trying to overthrow all the governments over there, including our friends like Egypt and so on. We're trying maybe sort of to deal with the Palestinian-Israeli issue, and Condoleezza Rice is shuttling around doing that. We're saying at least that we're going to – I mean, there's a whole bunch of little things that are happening in the region that indicates that maybe we've kind of pulled in our strategy a little bit, and we're going back to some of the basics that some of the realists, the Arabists and so on, talk about. And that's why somebody like Ryan Crocker, who's an Arabist, might be somebody in Iraq who could help engineer that. On the other hand, what's worrying is this, as we started out our conversation here, this utter refusal to talk to Iran and to Syria and to treat our adversaries, our opponents, or people who don't like us over there. Of course, we're creating more of those every day.
Yeah.
To treat them as, you know, pariahs that are just beyond the pale, that we can't, pick up the phone and talk to these people because they're so axis of evil-like. So in that sense, it's almost like Bush is trying to build a coalition against Iran with the Israelis and the Iraqi friends of ours and the rest of the Arabs and others to build some, you know, grand containment strategy against Iran. That's really a bad policy, and it leads to confrontation rather than to dialogue. And it certainly isn't going to help fix the Iraq problem, which is truly going to require the cooperation of all of Iraq's neighbors, not only to restrict arms and things like that coming in, which is a minor problem. Most of the arms in Iraq come from inside Iraq. But to help the political factions in Iraq in turn kind of sit down and try to work things out.
All right, let's go to the phones. DJ in Phoenix, join us on the Peter B. Collins Show with Robert Trifus.
Robert and Peter, good evening. How are you?
Good.
Great.
3 points of conversation I'd like to bring about. I spoke to Peter about perhaps almost a month ago regarding a contract that was given to General Dynamics for mobile territorial and terrain observation specified for Iraq. The final shipment to be made almost a year plus from now. The second point is, and I'm not privy to all the information about the buildings, fortresses, constructs that are going on in that area that continue. They haven't stopped in some cases, but I'm not privy to what locations and whatnot. And thirdly, the generals that were just all recently replaced because they refuted the commission's report. I appreciate where you're coming from, Robert, but I believe this is all as much cover-up as he can possibly perpetrate upon the American public to continue what his real goal is there, and that's to try and control the oil supply from the country. He has no intention upon leaving, and help me out if that sounds like anything positive to you.
Well, I am one of the people who thinks that the war in Iraq was first and foremost about oil. Not so much for the oil companies. I talked to oil company people before the war. They didn't like it. They were kind of happy just buying Iraq's oil and making money selling it again. But but to control the oil from a strategic standpoint to increase America's power and influence in this important part of the world. And I do think that's the goal of the Bush administration to a large degree. There are other collateral ones like, you know, things related to Israel and things related to sheer American power and influence in the rest of the world and so forth. But I do think oil had a lot to do with it. And the problem is we're not controlling Iraq. I mean, whatever we thought we were going to accomplish, it ain't happening. We're presiding over a chaotic mess in Iraq that has very, very little chance of turning out to be some pro-American oil fiefdom that we can boss around. So I don't see any prospect for us to succeed. And I think even the bulk of the political establishment here, I'm not talking about liberals and anti-war people and journalists like me, but I'm talking about the military and people in Congress and people in the administration and the Council on Foreign Relations and the sage old men who run this country. I think they've all pretty much realized that Iraq is lost. And so they're now scratching their heads, figuring out how do we get this through to the president? How do we, you know, we thought James Baker could do it. He's a Bush family guy, mm-hmm. and Bush just blew him off. So, you know, what do we do?
DJ, thank you for the call from Phoenix. Right. I appreciate it. Robert Dreyfus, thanks for joining us. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Oh, it's great to be here.
We'll do it again.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot. We're going to take a break and return with Andrea Schlesinger from Drum Major Institute. They take a look at issues from the point of view of working and middle-class families in America, and she'll give us her reaction to the domestic issues raised in the president's State of the Union message last night. More to come from Washington, D.C., live on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
One Day Income Tax Service, family owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wine, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? more people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show live from Washington, D.C. It's 33 minutes past the hour. We've gotten a fascinating array of reaction to the President's State of the Union message delivered last night. And we've got one more voice to bring you. She's Andrea Schlesinger, Executive Director of the Drum Major Institute. And they're on the web at drummajorinstitute.org. Andrea, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you.
Nice to talk with you. And I understand that you're coming to Washington perhaps as early as tomorrow to attend the Families USA Healthcare Symposium and Conference.
I am. I'm excited to do it. We've been talking about the middle class squeeze for several years now and the ways in which, you know, healthcare has become an increasing burden for middle class families. So I'm glad to go down there and talk about it.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be there and look forward to meeting you in person after our long distance conversations.
Uh-huh. Excellent.
So let's take a look at some of the domestic issues the president touched on last night in an effort to distract us from the problems in Iraq. And it was feeble in most respects, particularly from any progressive point of view. But I guess under the circumstances, we have to give a couple of points to the president for at least recognizing and acknowledging that healthcare issues are significant to most Americans. The fixes that he proposes are about as imaginative and favorable to the middle class as his approach to privatizing Social Security that so far has gained no traction. And to suggest that tax breaks, tax cuts, or tax credits would be a way to ease the burden on working families is way off the mark in my view. What's your take?
Well, I agree, Peter. You know, I think the show, the speech was a kind of a show for those interested in his kind of market ideology. I mean, it was a weird speech. It alternated between these like super specific, you know, ideas and his energy plan that offered no clear vision, and then this odd healthcare proposal that really did nothing to address the actual causes behind the skyrocketing cost of healthcare. And, you know, although I agree that it was a feeble speech, I think we should also be careful, because in many ways I think it was very aggressively ideological. And even if he doesn't have the votes, we still need to make sure that we're making the case that his approach is the wrong approach so that Americans understand it.
No, I think that's a good point. I never try to misunderestimate this man, despite his weak command of the English language. So we have a situation, Andrea, where the unacknowledged hit on working American families during the time that tax cuts have benefited the ultra-wealthy, the top 1%, the have-mores, as Bush has referred to them, and most Americans have suffered a loss in spendable income, take-home pay, and we've seen a breathtaking shift of what was once an employer-paid benefit across the board for virtually every working American. And now it's optional, and American workers have to contribute more and more to their own health care expenditures, whether it's through insurance, deductibles, copays, et cetera. And so there has been a real reduction in the spendable incomes in the American family because, you know, I think one of the big drivers has been the unchecked escalation of health insurance and health care costs.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, the beginning of the speech, it was clear when he talked about the economy is strong and improving. And although there has been an uptick in wages over the last year, I mean, you've got this situation where the middle class feels tremendously squeezed. And it's not just healthcare, although healthcare is a huge piece of it. But you knew from the beginning of the speech that this was not going to be an actual State of the Union. Mm-hmm. It was going to be a continuation of the press conferences that he did in the lead up to the midterm elections, you know, where he tried to present a front and then the day after the election said, I just don't know why the message wasn't received. I really don't understand it. And that's because he obviously wasn't listening. You know, the speech does absolutely nothing to actually look at the healthcare industry and try to find out what the real causes are of you know, the cost of healthcare skyrocketing. Nothing to take on the insurance industry. It's either, hey, states, take money out of public hospitals. Hey, small employers, you know, don't worry. We're going to give tax cuts to people so you don't have to worry about paying health insurance. I mean, in many ways, this is a middle-class tax increase.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the president likes to lean on market-based proposals and solutions like health savings accounts, which, like his Social Security proposals, benefit, you know, a narrow group. I believe that a Republican company, a Republican-led company in Indiana, has benefited most from the introduction of HSAs into the American family. And, you know, for certain people, particularly high-income individuals, health savings accounts can probably be pretty attractive. But again, this is a way to shift the cost onto the individual and away from the government and employers.
Yeah, I mean, let's be totally clear about it. This is a reflection of the president's rejection of the concept of insurance. And the concept of insurance involves pooling risk. And essentially what the president is doing is saying, look, you know, everybody figure it out by yourself. So if you're wealthy and you're well, then here you go. You have a nice tax shelter. You can take this tax deduction, go off on your own. You probably won't need a whole lot of health care. You know, go forth. If you're sick, well, then you're a little bit in a little bit more of a difficult situation, especially if your employer no longer has an incentive to provide you with care. And so, I mean, in the same way as the Social Security, you know, privatization idea, which is forget about the collective pooling of risk. You're on your own. Sure, there's an opportunity if you don't get sick. There's an opportunity if you play the market well. But that's not the concept of insurance. The concept of insurance is that we pool our risk and we have enough so that those who are sick can be taken care of and those who are well, you know, contribute with the idea that they don't know if they're going to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a fundamental shift in the idea of who's bearing risk and a fundamental shift in the idea of insurance. And it's scary. I mean, it goes against all of the gains that we made, which were critical to growing the middle class in the first place. And it's frightening that we're still having this debate.
Andrea Schlesinger with us from the Drum Major Institute here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you'd like to join us, call in at our toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Andrea, he also trotted out again the idea of reforms to malpractice lawsuits, trying to put caps in place. And what was his phrase from the 2004 campaign about how gynecologists and obstetricians
right.
want to practice their love on their women?
that was definitely a highlight.
Yeah.
The issue of capping malpractice liability is definitely not a very loving exercise. I mean, essentially, you know, it's a pro-business talking point.
Right,
you know,
and when a doctor makes
a
mistake, it's your tough
for
luck.
People to sue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's ironic as he talks about, you know, he said in the speech, we need to protect good doctors from junk lawsuits. Fine. Good doctors, you would think, wouldn't, be subject to junk lawsuits. But what he is proposing protects all doctors. It protects bad doctors. It protects good doctors. I mean, it's the same, it's this idea that you cap liability, which makes it very hard for a regular American who's been harmed to actually attain legal support to go and take a case to court. I mean, that's one of the major incentives for reducing medical errors, which is one of the things that the president said he wanted to do, reduce medical errors. Well, one, you know, what kind of incentive is there to reduce errors when you know, hey, if I mess up, nobody can take me to court anyway, thanks to the president.
Yeah. Well, and Andrea, fundamentally, I believe that our dalliance with the for-profit system to deliver health care has been an utter and total failure. And that we need to recognize that, move to a single-payer plan, eliminate the profit margins for insurance companies, and reduce the incredible, it's been estimated $400 billion a year goes into paperwork costs alone. And yet, I don't feel that the Democrats are ready to take this issue on and confront Harry and Louise again. They are, I believe, intimidated by the insurance industry tactics from 1994, where it was declared that Hillary Clinton's plan was going to socialize one-eighth of the American economy. And, you know, that's bogus. But it sticks, and I think that it's alive in the memories of many of our Democratic leaders.
I think that's true, but you know what? I think two things have shifted. First, the health insurance, you know, crisis is really impacting the middle class. And I think once you start impacting those in the middle income range or those who just otherwise kind of view themselves to be middle class, then I think it creates a base that would actually support the Democrats to taking this on legislatively. So that's one thing that has changed. The second thing that has changed is, you know, and this is a big thing that Andy Stern talks about, is, you know, Walmart and the Walmarts of the country, they're going to get it that they can't afford to keep doing this. And once Walmart and Walmarts line up and say, you know what, I can't afford to provide this health care, the government's going to have to step up. You could do it more effectively. You have models for how to do it. You could, if you want us to be a contributor to, you know, to the business climate in this country, you're going to have to take on this responsibility because we can't. With those two things, I think we actually have a shot. So I'm feeling more optimistic than you, I guess.
Okay. Well, good. And I need some optimism. I mean, I recognize that these are complex and very difficult problems that tread on various interest groups. I'm not Arnold Schwarzenegger's biggest fan, but I give him credit. After working to repeal one single-payer health plan, or at least an approach to try and ensure most working Californians, and he vetoed Sheila Kuehl's bill in the past legislative cycle, and now he's a believer that it's time to ensure every Californian, and it's a lofty goal. It's something that I applaud. And he has a plan that I don't fully embrace, but it does require sacrifice from each sector. And I think it's a good starting point. That said, I think that it's going to be very difficult to reach consensus and really drive through these issues that will fundamentally sharply reduce the number of uninsureds in America, now estimated at 47 million.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and I agree with you, that the governor's plan isn't perfect, and there are certainly other plans that are out there in other states that are experimenting, and I think it's good that states are experimenting so we can, you know, try to learn from their experiences. But I think the critical mass is there, and I think part of this was shown in the midterm elections, that people were saying, you know what, this kind of anti-government rhetoric, or as the president said last night, you know, we need to continue, I'm paraphrasing here, we need to continue the economy going strong, but exact quote is, you know, not with more government, with less government and more enterprise. I think people are getting that the more enterprise isn't actually going to make sure that their families can see a doctor when they're sick, you know, and protect their rights in the workplace and make sure we don't have, you know, post-Hurricane Katrina catastrophes. I mean, you know, I think people are starting to get it and we're very anxious and sent that message in the midterm elections. Can you make life a little bit easier for us? Mm-hmm. So I do feel hopeful that there'll be a little bit more momentum behind doing something about health care.
We're talking with Andrea Schlesinger. Are you Schlesinger or Schlesinger?
You know, Schlesinger, but Schlesinger is just fine.
Okay. That's Dr. Lara's pronunciation. So I'm
well,
never
Schlesinger.
Good.
But let's confuse them.
Andrea Schlesinger is our guest here on the Peter B. Collins Show, executive director of the Drum Major Institute. They're online at drummajorinstitute.org. Go check out their quick comments on the President's State of the Union message. We'll continue analyzing the domestic front in just a moment. And if you'd like to join us, lines available, 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Frank Sullivan, taking a look at traffic on KRXA 540. We're going to go out first to Stahl, southbound 101 on the Cochran Road off-ramp. That, of course, in the Coyote Valley. Just learning of this, southbound 17, just past the Glenwood cutoff, you're going to find apparently a stall. That is now on the right-hand shoulder. Eastbound 68, just east of Pasadena, an accident reported. Two cars involved. So, again, this is eastbound on the 68, just past Pasadena, an accident reported there. And on the 152, on Highway 152, between Highway 1 and Beverly Drive North, Caltrans is going to be closing traffic intermittently to accommodate road work. That brought to you by Welch's Purple Grape Juice. The American Heart Association recommends a diet rich in antioxidants. So where can you find them? Welch's 100% grape juice, full of natural protective antioxidants. I'm Frank Sullivan. That's traffic on KRXA 5.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues live from Washington, D.C. Matt Renner, our producer, back at the studio in the Bay Area at the controls and back from his health break. He had a little surgery last week, and he's doing much better. Great to have him back on the team. And I can't forget Katrina Rill, who's here in Washington, D.C., helping us coordinate all the action here. And unfortunately, Bush forgot a Katrina last night. Couldn't find anywhere in his 51-minute speech to remember the people of New Orleans and the Gulf Coast and the failed recovery effort there. Andrea Schlesinger with us from the Drum Major Institute. And, Andrea, that couldn't have been accidental, could it?
No, I think the president was aiming for we're doing well, we can do things a little bit better, that means we have to keep doing the same thing. Kind of tone, especially around the economy, which is really what set everything up. That's what set up the speech. So, you know, going from talking about the strength of the economy and the strength of the approaches that that he's pursued to get the economy to be where it is today, to acknowledging a massive government failure when it comes to post-Katrina rebuilding, that would have been even more of a stretch than I think he's capable of.
Yeah. Kelly in Phoenix wants to join the conversation. Kelly, you're on the air on the Peter B. Collins Show with Andrea Schlesinger.
Hey, well, thanks for having me.
Sure.
I'm calmed down now, but I'm trying to figure out fundamentally why it would be my responsibility, let's say, to pay Andrea's medical bills. You know, you're talking about Walmart. You know, if I go to Walmart now, they pay pretty good wage to their people. If I go to Walmart and they start tacking on this forced medical insurance, then my food goes up, my cost of clothing goes up, and I'm paying your medical.
Kelly, you're already paying for Walmart's health benefits for employees, because do you know that currently many Walmart employees are told you don't qualify for health care. Why don't you go down to the Medi-Cal office in California or the other state medical insurance program for low-income individuals, and you can get health care, and we don't have to pay for it. The taxpayers pay for it. Kelly, that's one way that that is currently occurring. Where do you get the idea that, you know, you're going to be paying for Andrea's health care benefits? It's a pooled situation, and if we have a larger pool, the risks are spread more evenly, and it lowers the cost for all of us.
I'm currently in a pool. It's called health insurance, and I pay with like-minded individuals that particularly like that company. The difference, and you've likened it to insurance several times, the difference from this is it's so easy a caveman could figure it out. I like Geico. Some people like Allstate. Some people like their insurance companies. It's not insurance if you conscript and force me to be in your program. That's not insurance.
Let's get a comment from Andrea.
Well, I mean, the most successful form of insurance that this country has seen is Social Security, and essentially what that means is we all contribute. And Peter, for example, he may do very well, and so in the end, he may not need his benefits. I may do very poorly working here at a progressive think tank, so I may need my benefits. I may be doing very well and then realize, oh, shoot, I'm going to live a long time. I may never be able to just live on my savings. I'm going to need to tap into Social Security. It's the idea that we pool our risk because we cannot predict whether we will be sick. We cannot predict how long we're going to live. That's the concept of insurance. Now, the question you're getting to is one of obligation. I agree with you. The idea that employers should be obligated to provide health insurance is probably an outdated concept. That's why we need to look at how the government can do it. Why? Because it makes more fiscal sense for you and for me. It doesn't make any sense for you to underwrite the emergency hospitals room as a form of health insurance for the poor and squeezed middle class people that live in your state. So the idea isn't let's penalize the poor person who just wants to be able to make a choice. The idea is, how do we make sure that everybody is taken care of when they get sick?
Well, so, Adrian, I have a slightly different take, because I believe that many American workers over the years, particularly union workers, gave up raises and other contract improvements in order to maintain fully employer-paid health care and retirement benefits. We've seen that seriously eroded. The grocery strike in Southern California 2.5 years ago was a watershed moment, in my view. And what we have seen is employers band together, and they used Walmart as the stalking horse, saying Walmart's coming in, and they're going to have these super grocery stores with all these non-union employees. They don't pay health benefits, and so instead of forcing Walmart to move up to the higher watermark, they decided to lower the watermark for everybody and strip away the employer-paid benefits of grocery workers in that union. And so I think that that is a real rollback, one of those hidden cost increases for working Americans. And I think that that needs to be addressed in any program going forward. Let's bring Kelly back here for a moment and let him get one more comment in. Go ahead, Kelly.
Perfect. Andrew, you say that Social Security is a perfect example. I say it's a catastrophe. I pay for my car insurance, and it's always worked for me my whole life. If I have an accident, I've paid a premium. They pay for it. And if I abuse it, then my rates go up, and so on. Social Security is upside down. We keep borrowing from it. It's a failed insurance company that we've been propping up with our taxes.
Peter, actually, this, as you know, is solvent. Probably needs some modest tinkering, as we've done before. But Social Security is what has kept us and what has kept our grandparents and our parents from aging without dignity. I mean, I think there is no question, even amongst the right-wingers who say we absolutely need to privatize, supported, of course, by companies that will do very well from that privatization on the market, there has never been a question even about the fundamental success of that program. I would really ask Kelly to think about the people in his life who depend upon Social Security, not just the elderly, but the children of those who are disabled. That's even out there for a pro-Social Security privatization critique.
Well,
start naming the people in your life who would otherwise age in total poverty.
I appreciate Kelly's call. It's always nice to hear contrasting points of view. But, Kelly, you are a Darwinian capitalist, and I'm sorry. I just don't subscribe to your worldview. But thanks for listening to this program, and I appreciate your call today. Andrea, finally, got about a minute remaining. The president talked again about education and touted his No Child Left Behind bill, but failed to mention that it's never been properly funded. You think he'll get around to that in a postscript or maybe a signing statement?
Well, I'm not sure when it's going to be, what it will be fully funded with. I mean, the economy is doing well. He wants to cut the deficit in half. He wants unconstrained and totally unlimited war spending, and at the same time wants to continue tax cuts on the very wealthiest, which drain our coffers. So I'm not sure. I mean, maybe Kelly can spot him the money, but I'm not sure exactly where that money is going to come from. But no, I don't think that's a priority. I think the kind of subtle language about we need to increase choice. You know, I love it when the conversation is about increasing choice between, you know, a bad option and another bad option.
Right. Oh, they're really good at presenting false choices.
Options.
Yeah. Thank you, Andrea. Great to talk with you. Come on down to Washington and look forward to meeting you in person.
I'll be there. Thanks, Peter.
Andrea Schlesinger from Drum Major Institute. I'm Peter B. Join us again tomorrow as we continue our live broadcast from Washington. We'll be at the Families USA Healthcare Conference at the Mayflower Hotel. And Friday night, we'll get you ready for the big war, the anti-war demonstration in Washington on Saturday. And Lieutenant Aaron Watata is scheduled to join us Friday here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The Mississippi burning case was finally resolved, and now there's an arrest in another racial murder more than four decades ago. Two black teenagers beaten and dumped in the Mississippi River to drown. CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambidakis has more.
Now old and sick, reputed Klansman James Seal has been charged with kidnapping that led to the deaths of the two teens, Henry D. and Charles Moore. Seal has always been a prime suspect, but Mississippi dropped the case and it lay dormant for decades. In this revived investigation, prosecutors found a new legal avenue, establishing a federal connection because Seal allegedly crossed state lines briefly from Louisiana into Mississippi.
A second man, also a longtime suspect, has not been charged, no immediate explanation. Today, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee voted 12-9 for a resolution opposing the troop buildup in Iraq. Nebraska Senator Chuck Hagel was the lone Republican voting aye and challenged his colleagues to do the same.
All 100 senators ought to be on the line on this. What do you believe? What are you willing to support? What do you think? Why are you elected? If you wanted a safe job, go sell shoes.
A vote on the Senate floor is expected next week. Iraq isn't the only country getting more U.S. troops. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports U.S. commanders in Afghanistan will have their force beefed up.
With the Taliban staging a comeback, the Pentagon is reinforcing its combat troops in Afghanistan for what is expected to be a spring of heavy fighting. a brigade of the 10th Mountain Division, about 3,500 soldiers, some of whom arrived home this morning in upstate New York, will now have their one-year tour of duty extended by 4 months.
Change of plans means those just returned troops will have to go back. The second day follow-up to a president's State of the Union speech has become almost as much of a tradition as the speech itself.
We've got to be wise stewards of the environment, and dependency on oil makes it harder to be wise stewards of the environment.
I'm Mark Noller in Wilmington, Delaware. To spotlight the energy component of last night's speech, President Bush came to take a tour of a DuPont Company facility that does research on making ethanol. Mr. Bush sees that fuel as a way to meet his 2010 objective of cutting gasoline consumption in the U.S. by 20% over 10 years.
Senator John Kerry will not run for president again.